is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run!
Fires down the middle.
It is intercepted by Micah Hyde! Intercepted! Tre Day! Tre'Davious White!
He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there! McCoy cuts to the right.
Outrunning everybody! 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
This is how you do a radio show. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. Welcome to the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. Live from One Bills Drive, noon to 3 today here in Orchard Park, New York. Beautiful Orchard Park, New York, where a couple of inches of snow on the ground this morning here in OP, but everything's fine with us. It's all good. The Bills are in the field house right around the corner here, right across that hall over there, working out day two of the offseason conditioning program. Talk about that. We'll talk about the draft, which is now just 9 days away. Talk about a lot here on the show. Thanks for joining us. You and I have been here for a while today, Steve. We had a little work to do getting ready for next week's show. Next Monday is the initial show, the debut of One Bills Live from right here at One Bills Drive. Steve and I are going to be here every Monday through Friday, noon to 3. And we
Seems like all day, every day.
Yeah, we had a little work to do today on that, including shooting promos, right? Nice, lighthearted, funny promos today. You're good. You're good.
TV work, man.
At one point, I asked you, how many of those...
I'm a big fan of radio.
How many of those TV commercials you did? I bet you've done 10,000 TV commercials over
the year. No.
Because you're good. You know what to do. You know how to...
I have not done 10,000
TV shows. Come on, man.
No.
I bet you have.
A couple of hundred. Over the course, I've been with those guys at West Hurt for like 10 years,
wait,
11
you,
years.
You can't say that name on the air.
I did, and we shoot one and they use it for 20 different things too. You know, I mean, there's a science to it. That's right. We'll shoot like 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 in a day. Say maybe the most we've ever done is 5 or 6, but you know,
you've done hundreds.
So yeah. Yeah, okay. I'll say 100 plus.
It shows when we go out there to shoot promos for One Bills Live because you know what to do. You know what the director is looking for, and you deliver. You are a performer. You are a consummate performer.
I prefer just a pro. Just a professional.
You're a pro.
I'm a professional commercial maker.
So that's how we started. Yeah, that's how we started our day doing that. One Bills Live starts next Monday. Steve is here today. Steve is not here tomorrow, right?
I'm coming back Friday to start the weekend, and then he's back in the saddle all next week for draft week.
Yeah, Chris Brown will be with us for a couple of days. The draft is just 9 days away.
Try to listen when Brownie's on.
Yeah, it's always educational.
We have all these. There's 50,000 media people, right? There's every platform. There's the newspapers, all the television stations, the radio stations, us, and Chopin the Bulldog, and you know, all of them. There's a whole bunch of people who write and cover the Bills, right?
Yeah.
Brownie's the one. He may be my favorite, not just because you know he's kind of in-house, but he is eyeball deep in everything that is the Bills. You can ask him a question about the roster, and he's got the. I like that. I enjoy him.
You know what's good, and you'll find this when he joins us, and he'll be with us a lot once we get going on One Bills Live. When you touch something that Chris Brown is serious about.
His voice goes up.
Oh, my. Yeah, his voice goes way up. He gets real excited. It's a lot of fun. I love getting Brownie around.
I know exactly what you mean. He kind of starts in on a rant, but he starts off just like we're talking. And by the end of the conversation, he's up here.
Yeah.
And he's making gestures. Yeah.
He got going last year at training camp. We had a conversation right after. Who did the Bill signed Bolden, right, last year?
They did sign him for a day.
He was here
for
a couple of weeks. And Chris and I had a mild disagreement about how he might be used. Chris got me going. So he got so wound up and got me going so wound up, I actually dropped a four-letter word on the air. Which I did. It was more than four letters. It was what you say when you think somebody is not making any sense, when you think they're full of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it just was natural. It just came out of my mouth because Chris gets you going. When he gets going, everybody around him gets going.
That's why I love him because he cares about the nuts and bolts too. I mean, he's kind of wired. And when he watches practice, he doesn't just watch practice and say, hey, look at that. He's studying it, like formations, who's in, who's playing, who's the running back with this tight end. And he goes deep. because he writes so much material for the website, and he's so wired in. He's, you know, he's just got such a depth of knowledge. It's fun because you can get him going.
Yeah.
Because once you get, you're like coaching. You know, those guys, you start immersing yourself. You watch hours of tape. And like Chris, you know, he spends all the time. You start to care. You know, you start to have big fat opinions that you believe are right. And you're right. When you get him in one of those opinions, it's pretty fun.
Chris will be doing the show here in Steve's place tomorrow and Thursday. And Steve will be back Friday. And then brand new show Monday, One Bills Live here from One Bills Drive. Today's show, what do we got? Good question. A lot of draft talk today. Coming up at 1, and this deal, well, let me tell you about who our guest is first. He's the second time he's been with us in the last few months. He is the ESPN Nation, NFL Nation reporter covering the New York Giants for ESPN.com, Jordan Renan. And the reason why we're bringing him back is because all signs point to the Giants as the key team. Now, maybe not. We're going to ask you that question. But as far as what happens with the Bills, as far as what happens with the rest of the draft, it appears like the New York Giants are in position to make the biggest impact. We'll talk about that in a minute. Jordan Renan is going to join us at 1. 2 o'clock today, Dan Shanka, who is the editor of Our Land's Guide to the NFL Draft. It's been my draft guide for decades now. It is pretty much bare bones. Where is it? I have it right here. Dan Shanka is the national scout. Our Land Scouting Services does this draft book. Look at it, Steve. No pictures in here.
Right.
There's no pictures.
It's like reading a spreadsheet.
It is. It is. And it's great. And it's been great for decades. And Dan Shanka is the national scout and personnel consultant to the NFL. Man who puts this together with his team.
It's really changed things in the league now because you've got all these the league has made coaches' tape available to people. And it's a cottage industry. Well, maybe more than a cottage industry. It's a real-life industry where you've got people who can watch tape for themselves. And if they've got the time and the desire, you can go into a dark room like a coach and start breaking down tape and start watching players individually and collectively and slicing them up against different oppositions and different philosophies. I mean, they start going through this. And you get guys who, you know, there's no monopoly in the NFL on intelligence, and you get a lot of smart people watching young players in college and young players in the pros making some pretty good evaluations.
Yeah. Dan Shanka joins us at 2. We got the player availability today. Today is day 2 of the off-season conditioning program, and the Bills are making players available. We hope to get one or maybe a couple of them here at the studio, in the studio with us, and of course we'll hear their comments to the media also. We'll pick that up and let you hear what some of the players say about coming back. Day 2 of the on-field workouts. A couple of Bills quick news notes. Cap Cappy released by the Bills today. Defensive end signed to the Bills practice squad last November. Appeared in the last 4 games of the season last year for the Bills. 5 tackles, 1 sack, 1 forced fumble. Cap Cappy released by the Buffalo Bills today. And this is going to be fun. Tomorrow, Steve, Fred Jackson is going to be signed and released. He'll be retiring tomorrow, officially retiring as a member of the Buffalo Bills. A one-day contract signed tomorrow, will be signed tomorrow, according to reports by Fred Jackson. He just turned 37 years old. 8 of his 9 seasons with the Bills, 5,500 rushing yards, 30 touchdowns in Buffalo, a fixture in the community, a fan favorite, played for the Seahawks in 2015, did not play the last couple of years. Fred Jackson will sign a one-day contract reportedly with the Bills tomorrow. We expect to have him on the show tomorrow. What do you think of that, signing those one-day deals and going out that way?
Yeah, Thurman did it.
Yeah.
I think Daryl did it, Daryl Talley.
Did he?
I think so.
I can't remember.
There have been other guys who've done it, and I don't have a problem with it. It comes down where both parties have to want to. The Bills have to say, yeah, you know what, okay. And then, you know, the guy has to want to come back and say, you know, it meant a lot to me to be a Buffalo Bill. I think that says something about what this community means to these guys.
What do we look for? Guys who retires, who signs a one-day deal and retires? Guys who finish their career elsewhere?
It's a relationship. It's not about a guy and how good he played. It's about, does the guy want to do that? And I think it's a compliment to the organization, and I think it's a compliment to the city. It has nothing really to do with how good a player he was or whatever. It has to do with a guy whose career took him to different places and a guy who, you know, bounced around a little bit maybe, or at the end of his career, like Thurman going away for 1 year and coming back. It's about what the town and the city and the team meant to him. And I think it's a compliment for the organization, not really a, like they're doing somebody a favor.
Nick Mangold. No, I didn't say that. And I certainly acknowledge Fred's, you know, role, his prominent role among the fan base. Nick Mangold is going to do it next week with the New York Jets. He announced his retirement. He'll sign a one-year deal with the Jets and retire as a Jet.
A one-day deal.
One-day deal. Fred will do it tomorrow, apparently. Sign a one-day deal with the Bills, Fred Jackson, and then retire as a Buffalo Bill. Who wouldn't want to do that as a player, right? I mean, who wouldn't want to be honored and celebrated as one of the all-time greats?
Obviously. Well, that doesn't – no, wait a minute now. That doesn't mean you're one of the all-time greats.
What does it mean?
It means the,
one of the all-time popular players?
It means
players?
One of the teams you played for meant something more to you than the other teams you played for. It means that you may not have finished your career there as a player, but you want to come back and say thank you or say, you know, this is when I tell my kids and grandkids about me playing football, I'm going to tell them about this town and this team. I don't think it has – you have to be a Hall of Fame caliber player to do that or one of those guys that statistically was – stands out in the record books. I think Fred, I mean, there's no question he was a favorite by the fans here and earned that. You don't just get given that. I mean, you do things that cause you to become that, particularly in this market. And I think that's a nod by Fred to say, you know what, it wasn't just a game. It wasn't just a job. It wasn't just, you know, a way to make money or a way to play pro football. I like this city and he proved it with his actions off the field, as you mentioned.
And there are other awards you would think await Fred. I mean, certainly he'd be a strong candidate for the Bills Wall of Fame, wouldn't you think, Fred Jackson?
That's a tough one.
No.
Eight years?
Tough. How is that
eight
tough?
Years is
Fred
pretty
Jackson's
good.
Fred Jackson's a Wall of Famer. Come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's 5,000 yards rushing.
Yeah.
That puts him up where? Top 10. I have to look.
I have to look, too.
I don't know if I have that at my fingertips.
That's what we get for not rehearsing the show. That's some things are going to change.
How is Fred Jackson out of Wall of Famer? Come on, man.
I don't know. That's a good one. That's a good question. Maybe he played in the wrong era. I don't know. That's a good question. But you'd have to put guys like him, guys like – that brings a lot of guys into the realm of Wall of Fame. Guys like Aaron Schobel.
He's worthy of some consideration,
yeah.
I think.
He certainly can put him in the conversation. That'd be an interesting vote. Because certainly at this point, if it happened right away, now, I don't know. There's some other guys.
Fred is third all-time rushing franchise history. Thurman, number one, with close to 12,000 yards. O.J., 10,200 yards approximately. Fred Jackson, third behind Thurman and O.J. with 5,600 rushing yards.
That's
Wall of Fame.
It's like 55% of the yards that those guys had, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it was – and that's over 8 years.
Yeah.
How many – did he have a 1,000-yard season? I know he had like 2,500 yards from scrimmage 1 year, led the league maybe. But that's a good question. I don't know.
If the vote comes up, I vote for Fred Jackson and don't even think twice.
Yeah.
For the Bills Wall of Fame.
I'm sure absolutely. You're probably not alone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Fred Jackson is going to retire – one-day contract tomorrow, retire with the Buffalo Bills tomorrow. Hasn't played in a couple of years. And we'll have Fred on the show tomorrow, we think, to talk about that. And we'll talk more about Fred tomorrow, certainly on the show. He is very popular.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. You didn't go. They had his roast, the WGR roast, a month or so ago.
Yeah, I was out of town.
Yeah, wildly popular. And the place was packed, and it was hilarious. And Fred Jackson obviously took all of the – the Heat. He did have one 1,000-yard rushing year, 2009, 1,062 yards for the Bills. Had a couple of 900 rushing yards career.
It's funny about those roasts. You get a guy like, well, it's like trying to roast Mark Kelso. It's not much material.
Yeah.
Fred's a great dude. I mean, he's on
he
and off the
dude.
And, you know, to try and roast somebody like that is, it's not all that easy.
It wasn't that hard.
It wasn't.
I did part of it. Actually, I introduced one of the roasters. Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is easy. All right, let's get down to business here. We got the news of the day. You know, Cap Cappy released by the Bills. Fred Jackson will be signed a one-day deal and retires a Buffalo Bill tomorrow. And the players are just now wrapping up on the field in the day two of the off-season conditioning program. We'll hear from some of them as they meet with the media today and hopefully get somebody in on the in the studio to talk about that. That's coming up today. On the show today, Jordan Renata, as I said, about the New York Giants. And we'll talk with Dan Shaka from Our Lad's Guide to the NFL Draft. But what we really want to talk about, 9 days away from the draft now, is the landscape. And it was interesting because Brandon Bean said it yesterday. He wasn't kidding. Yes, his one clear comment was, you need a franchise quarterback. And I was thinking about that, listened to that soundbite again today and thought, of course you do. Of course you need a franchise quarterback, which does not mean that he did not say we're getting a franchise quarterback next week. He can't say that because there are 31 other teams that have a little bit of something to say about what the Bills are going to do. That's where we want to take you today. If you got a minute or two, give us a call, 803-0550, toll free 1-888-550-2550. Which team out there, the other 31, could most affect the Bills' first-round draft plans? Which team do you think? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. We offer you a couple of choices on Twitter. Is it, in fact, the New York Giants? Giants sitting there with the second pick in the draft now. 54% of you say yes, it is the New York Giants who could most affect the Bills' draft plans this year. 22% of you say it is the New York Jets, which I find kind of interesting. 14% of you say it is the Cleveland Browns, 10% of somebody else in mind. Look, I'm going to vote for the Giants here just because of where they sit and what Buffalo's looking for, but don't discount the Browns at 1-4. There's a couple of opportunities there, depending on what the Browns want to do, a couple of opportunities for the Buffalo Bills to make a deal with the Cleveland Browns maybe, Steve. In fact, they might be the team that is most amenable to a deal. It goes Cleveland, Giants, Jets are 3, then Cleveland again, then Denver, and you know, you might have a different opinion on which team could most affect them. You could say the Giants. You could say the Jets, who are sitting there now at number 3 after their deal with Indianapolis. Or you could say the Browns. I would put the Browns a very close second to the Giants as to who could have the most effect on the Bills draft play.
The Colts are at number 6, which they traded back with the Jets to get there. That could be a target for the Bills to jump up into the number 6 spot because the Colts have already traded back once. From 6 to 12 is not that big a jump. And they could really clean up on draft picks in this year's draft by flip-flopping again. So, but that puts Buffalo behind all of those teams back at number 6. But with Saquon Barkley in the mix as the running back who everybody covets secretly, if there were no quarterbacks in this draft, he's number 1 on everybody's board. Difference-making running back, he may be the guy that drops the quarterbacks down a couple of notches. So it's interesting to think about. But I, the reason we put that Twitter poll up is because what we got to talking about is the Giants because – and I think, Murph, the reason the 54% of the people think the Giants have the most stuff is because they're the most unpredictable. Nobody knows if they're going to draft Eli Manning's replacement or if they're going to get this guy, Saquon Barkley, who could help them win now with the guys that they have. But if you take him now with the guys you have and you still want to move on from Eli Manning – you're not the Giants aren't going to be number 2 in the draft again. I mean, they just don't end up there very often.
Well, the Giants are unpredictable. They have a brand new general manager who has a history in the NFL, right? I mean, Gettleman, you know, we've all heard it. Gettleman has never traded down before, but does that hold for this year? They have a veteran quarterback who is approaching the end of his career. I don't think he's there yet. A veteran quarterback who's won a lot, won a couple of Super Bowls, which makes them interesting. So they don't really have a quarterback need in the immediate future, but maybe down the road a little bit. And, you know, there's a pretty good we're going to talk about the Giants with Jordan Renan coming up at 1 o'clock. But Albert Breer, our buddy who writes for MMQB, writes a pretty simple piece on MMQB. The Giants hold the key to draft or not to draft a quarterback. And he says the Giants have 3 scenarios. Number 1, take a quarterback. And he says if that happens, you could see 4 quarterbacks go in the first 4 picks. Trade the pick. Gettleman has said, he's been quoted as saying he wants to draft a player with gold jacket potential, Hall of Fame potential. That's Barkley.
Well,
right?
Welcome to the club. Doesn't everybody want to do that?
He's talking about Saquon Barkley, maybe the best bet of somebody who's going to have a good career.
There's no doubt he's the safest pick in this draft.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He is a
guy who's going to play for – if he stays healthy, he'll play for a decade as a star number one running back. He's going to be a Frank Gore. He's going to be a Thurman Thomas, an Emmitt Smith type of player. He's going to be that good.
A third option for them, take a non-quarterback, which could include, they could take a quarterback, trade the pick, or take a non-quarterback. I think most Bills fans are hoping that they trade the pick and trade it to the Buffalo Bills, but that's not a lock. Might not happen, really, you know. They might not trade. They might use the pick to select a non-quarterback or take a quarterback.
Sadly, I think they're idiotic not to take a quarterback in this draft.
Really?
Yeah.
Even with Eli and with...
Okay. Listen, especially with Eli. He's been around for a long time, and he has not played well in the last 5 years. Since their last Super Bowl run, his second one as a winning Super Bowl quarterback, he has not played well enough. And he's been and he's asked some Giant fans, and you know, I don't follow him as closely, but I know guys, obviously, with my friends at CBS in New York, they are way down on Eli Manning and his ability to win games consistently. They benched him last year. Ben McAdoo benched him last year, and they took a lot of heat, but that was the move that came not just from McAdoo, but it came down from the Maras as well. They knew that it was time to move on from him. And although Gettleman got the job as GM in New York saying, hey, Eli's going to be our guy, we're going to win with him, they're crazy not to stay right there where they are and grab a guy who could be better than Eli has ever been. He may not win two Super Bowls like Eli has, but he's a guy that's going to be able to be a quarterback in the league for double-digit years, and I think they're crazy to trade out of that slot.
I think it's the Giants. You do too, the team that would most impact the Bills' draft plans this year?
Yeah, well, as it stands now, yes, but it could be any of those. Who's going to affect the Bills' plans? The team who's willing to trade to get the Bills up there or pass on one of the players that the Bills want.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting question. I think the Browns are interesting, too, with those two picks. At any rate, let's hear from you. The phone line's open, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-552-550. Or you can do it on Twitter. Vote on our Twitter poll or just sound off on Twitter at John Murphy Show. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive. The Bills have wrapped up their day two of the offseason conditioning program. We're going to talk with one of them about it when we come back. Kyle Williams, veteran defensive lineman, standing by to join us live here on the set. We'll be back with that. The John Murphy Show with Steve Tasker coming to you live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Steve Tasker coming from our One Buffalo studio. The Bills players on the field again today, day two of the offseason conditioning program. It is year 13 for our next guest. Happy to have defensive lineman Kyle Williams in studio with us back for year number 13. Congratulations, Kyle.
Thank you. Good to be back. Good
you're
be
wearing
seen.
Shorts today just because you're inside, I guess. Did you snow ski in this morning?
No, I wear shorts into the facility. You gotta acclimate. You got to get ready.
You were telling us when you came out here how you've got some young players, new Buffalo Bills, looking at you saying, what's going on with this?
Yeah, getting quizzed a lot. Like, what's the deal? I'm like, yeah, man, it's basically like this till June, so get ready.
Yeah, I tell people when I'm busting chops, there's two real seasons here. There's winter, and then there's the 4th of July.
Yeah.
And then it's winter again.
I'm
telling you what, this is a hard, you know it too. You've been here. It's a hard, hard winter this year.
Yeah, well,
oh my gosh.
I tell you, and I kind of joked about it when I came in. Having been here so long, you know that it's hard when I'm at this point am taking pictures and sending them to friends because yeah. You know, I think the great thing is when you think you've seen it all, you get a whole new surprise. Right. You wake up and you come out from workouts yesterday and it's April 16th or whatever it is, yeah. And you got a foot of snow. You're
it's
like,
not
great.
It's not Snowvember. I mean, it's not like 90 inches of snow over the course of 5 days.
Yeah, or the October storm. I've been here for a lot of fun
right,
ones.
So,
yeah,
but it's still, I think. Yeah, when you're ready to be done, you're ready to be done.
It needs to be said, this is not just a Buffalo phenomenon this year, right?
No,
all over
it's
the country.
Everywhere. It's everywhere.
Right? Except for Louisiana, God's country, Louisiana.
Well, yeah, God's country. I'm glad you said that. That's the truest thing I think I've ever heard you say.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it was kind of wet and a little bit at home for a month or so, but, you know, it's nice now.
So talk about being in town this week. What do you got for you? I mean, you've been around the block as long as anybody. I mean, you've made more laps than anybody. What's this mean to you, this little mini camp? Give us a little thumbnail of what you're thinking. And
well, you know, you always have new guys coming in and out, so you're trying to get with them. You're trying to get together as a defense, make sure you're on the same page, picking up changes. You know, you're always tweaking, you're always changing, making sure we're seeing things the same way, we're speaking the same language. So we can move together and be as good as we can 2018 because, you know, as great and fun as last year was towards the end of the year and, you know, all the things that went with that, you know, this is a totally new year. This is a totally new football team and, you know, we have to lay the groundwork for who we're going to be and we have to do it now.
Coach McDermott made a point of that. We were with him here yesterday, Kyle, about how He felt like he needed to mention that right off the top yesterday with the players. Yeah, it was fun last year. That was, you know, ended the 17-year playoff drought. But it really doesn't have a whole lot to do with this year, does it? You can't pick up where you left off last year.
It literally has nothing to do with what this year has in store for us. You know, we can't roll over any big plays. We can't roll over any big defensive stops that says, hey, we stopped that last year. We're just going to roll our hat out there and do it this year. So there's a lot of work that has to take place, and that's what all these guys are here to do.
I know. It's interesting, too, and I think about this every time this kind of year comes along. I told Murph yesterday, I remember now, you know, sometimes why you hated it. But really, when you're young, like your first or second year, you kind of look forward to getting back together with the guys being out there, because it reminds you that you are a pro athlete, which is your lifelong dream. When I was in my 13th year, it reminded me of how hard it was to train hard when I was my age.
Yeah.
And you really – it becomes a challenge to get better.
Sure.
Because you spend so much time trying to maintain and staying healthy.
Yeah, so, you know, we all have our issues, and especially, you know, I'm 35.
Right.
And so I've got deficiencies that in my body that haven't been there over my career that I have to figure out how to correct and work through and get better. So it's a whole different set of challenges. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, whether it's training camp or it's OTAs or it's mini camp, the guys that stick, the guys that have been around, are the guys that love every facet of what this game involves, right? So, you know, as hard as training camp can be and being away from family and doing all those different things, you know, you complain about it and you're like, oh, man, training camp, you know, 5-6 weeks, whatever it may be. But then in the back of your mind, you're like, all right.
Still kind of cool.
Still, yeah. Hey, I get to go out there and get after it. And not everybody gets to see what they're made out of every day or every Sunday. And I get to do that. And, you know, you kind of relish that and you build on that. And, you know, you're like, hey, you know what? I'm going to have two guys that are 350 pounds that if I don't prepare the right way or if I don't play the right way, they're going to embarrass me. They're going to beat me up.
Right.
And I'm like, no, I can't let that happen.
I tell that to young kids all the time that I speak to, trying to motivational stuff. And I always said, you know, one of the reasons I was successful is because I loved all that stuff that nobody else liked to do. I like training. I like watching film. I like getting to meetings. I like lifting weights and running and competing. It was part of the fun for me. I enjoyed all that stuff that helped me get better. And it reminds me, Murph, this big topic now on some of the young guys coming out. They always ask them, and I thought it was nuts when I was a kid, when they were, you know, when the draft process, when I was there. They try to figure out if they love football.
Yeah.
They ask you if you love football. I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, what's not to love? But really what they're asking is, what motivates you?
Sure.
And the motivation is key for these guys, and they're going to stick a long time if they're not.
Yeah, you know, you see guys come and go. You see these guys that walk in the door, and when they walk in, you go, oh, look at that guy. I mean, he's got everything. If you could test tube a guy,
right,
he's what you would make. And then the guy's gone in 2 or 3 years, and nobody hears from him. And, you know, it kind of comes back to the hard theory. Like this, at the end of the day, I mean, it's fun, and we get to play, and it's hard. It's all about your performance day in and day out. It's what have you done for me lately. And it's hard. And if you just out at the bottom and at your core don't love to compete and love this game, it's going to chew you up and spit you out. If you're here so people can know your name, if you're here so you can make some money, if you're hanging on to those, you know, things that, you know, everybody makes a grab at, typically you kind of fade away and it goes away and you don't stick around too
long. They typically make their goals a little too low. Like, I want to play in the league. Well, once you play in the league, you have nothing more to play for.
Sure.
You see guys that come in, they don't know how to continue to get better. And if you get guys that say, I want to be as good as I can be every day, and I want to get better all the time. I want to just be as good a player as I can possibly make myself day in and day out. Well, those guys, there's no end to that.
Yeah.
And that's why they kind of hang around.
I think I would take it maybe a step further. Like for me, and not really just – not late in my career here, but over my career at all, I said, you know what, how can I help somebody to see something that they haven't seen before that they can implement into their game? And for me, I've always tried to make it not about me. You know, hey, how can I be the best teammate? What can I do to help this guy make a play or let this guy play half a step faster or a little bit freer? And, you know, and I really have tried to run with that. Mm-hmm. And say, man, if I can help this guy be better or, you know, help his game out where he's here for a long time or he goes somewhere else and he has a lot of success, you know, it may not be something that I'm going to get this, you know, big tangible reward from, but I'll know, mm-hmm. you know, and he'll let me know. And that's part of me. And I really, a lot of times my decisions or what I'm doing now fall back on, you know, being the best teammate that you can be. And I told the guys today, I said, listen, I said, we're here for two purposes. From every step we take from now, April 16th to February 2019, is about two things. I said, it's about each other, and it's about winning a trophy. Anything else is out the window at this point. So, you know, we're just trying to build the foundation of what we're doing, and we're trying to do it together.
With Kyle Williams, Bills veteran defensive lineman in studio with us for a couple of minutes, you have some new teammates. You have Star Lotulelei lined up to probably play next year. You haven't lined up yet next term, I wouldn't think. But tell me what you know about him, what you anticipate getting from him.
You know, big, powerful man, a great player. He's been in this system a while, so he's comfortable. So I think that his transition or our transition playing together will be seamless, and it'll be great. I'm looking forward to it.
He's a big man. He could take up space, take up opponents, right?
He can do it. He's got a great skill set, obviously size, and he can move for his size. So he's going to be a great teammate to have. And, you know, I think Coach has said it, and, you know, I've said it for a long time. Like, we'll take as many good guys as we can get. I love playing right. with good players because they make you better, and you can make them better, and success breeds success no matter who it is.
What are some of the things that you're talking about? I know a lot you're limited in what you can do on the field. I mean, the coach, you're out there with the strength conditioning guys, and you're throwing medicine balls around and jumping and leaping and all the other gym class stuff. But I think the real thing about this situation, these OTAs, are the fact he's sitting in a classroom and you get to know your position coach again and the new guys, and you get to see what that chemistry is going to be like.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously we're here to get in shape, to get ready to play a 16-plus, you know, game football season. Past that, we're doing some install. We're in the meeting room. We're talking about block recognitions and formation recognitions and different things that you're looking for on offense, kind of going back to what I said earlier, that we're all speaking the same language. You know, because when we come off the sideline, I don't want to waste time. We're looking at pictures. I'm like, hey, this is this, this is that, this is that. And nobody knows what I'm talking about. They've put it in their mind as something different, so then we have to go back over it. You know, I want to be efficient. I want us to be able to communicate on and off the field as quickly and cleanly as possible, and that's some of what's going on right now too.
I would think a new man at the front of the meeting room for the defensive line, Bill Tierlink, who was here last year, takes over for Mike Waffle, huh?
Yeah, you know, and Bill was in our room last year, so, you know, we're going to have some of the same things. We're going to add some of the things that Bill thinks we should do. We've looked at, we've done studies on, you know, what we think we need to get better at, and you know, we're going to try to build, and I'm excited about it. I think Bill's going to do a great job. Aaron Whitecotton's our assistant D-line coach now, added a couple good players, you know, with Trent and Star, and brought some different guys in that I think are going to be good fits for our room, and we're going to go out and compete.
How much do you as a player, particularly a defensive lineman, I mean, I imagine you do because I know I did as a player, you're going to sit at home with your feet up watching the draft, trying to find out, you know, I know because most people don't really, they don't talk to you about who they're going to draft. I mean, the players are as far yeah. away from that as possible, but nobody's more interested.
You know, I've kind of withdrawn from that. I think I'll go play golf or do something.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, or hang out with some friends. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's when they come in the door, it's to kind of go through the same process with those guys. Say, okay, you know, I think Sean does a great job of, you know, he's always said, you know, when you say a lot, you don't say anything. When you say a little, you say everything. You know, he's the king of setting the standard. He says a little, and he lets us know what's important to us. And it's kind of set our foundation and our standard of who we are as a football team. And then you've got the leaders of the team that have to go out and make sure everybody's in step with it and make sure everybody's on the same page. And, you know, we're going to have to do that with those guys when they get in, no matter who the players are, no matter if it's quarterback or center or receiver or kicker or punter, it doesn't matter. We have to make sure those guys assimilate as quickly as possible as what we're doing. And, you know, then we work into knowing what they're supposed to do, speaking the same language, you know, holding guys accountable to make sure that they know how we get things done.
Kyle Williams in studio with us. Kyle, you had a decision to make during the offseason, or did you? Did you really have to think hard about whether or not you wanted to come back?
Not really. I mean, you know, we had some great communication between, you know, Sean and Brandon and myself. And I think more than anything, those guys, I've got so much respect for those two. I can truly see their vision of what they're trying to build. And I haven't really gone down this road very far of thinking about it, but there's a lot of things in it that I'm like, huh, I would do that too. Or, yeah, oh, I definitely see that because I think that's how I would like to do it if I were building a football team, so to speak. So, you know, I see a lot of similar building blocks. And, you know, like I said, I have a lot of respect for those guys. I love what they're doing, and I love working for them. You know, you walk in, you know, every day, and it's exciting and it's fresh, and you're being challenged, and you're challenging other guys, and it's fun for a guy like me that's been around a lot, and, you know, and you've got, you know, a certain expectation of yourself. Well, then you bring a new guy in or a new coach, and, you know, they're gonna give you these things on your plate and say, all right, man, take these things and run with them, make them yours, and do the best you can. I mean, that's fun and that's exciting.
Yeah, you're here for a couple of weeks now to kind of get in shape and kind of get your program and stuff. Or how long are you here for?
Well, I mean, how long is our program? It's from now till June. So, I mean, you know, pretty much the next couple months.
Yeah.
You know, most guys are here, and we're working and we're building camaraderie and becoming teammates.
Are you going to take off, go back home for a weekend or two? I mean, you got to.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go home weekends and different stuff like that. You know, I may stay up a week or two, then go home, and, you know, kids get out of school, they'll pop up. And so it's not as, you know, the off season used to be really long. We used to start in March.
Yeah.
You know, so now it's an 8 or a 9 week deal. So, you know, the early parts of this year you need to be doing on your own and at home or wherever you're training and doing those things. So really when we're here, guys are in shape when they show up now.
Right.
You know, we're hitting the ground running. We're not, you know, stretching and make sure that we're not getting hurt.
How long did you take after the season to, like, get rid of, I mean, because your season was thankfully a little longer this year.
Sure.
How long do you take usually to heal up? Because, we used to talk about what, and just take some time off.
Yeah, you know, I think mentally and physically, mentally I drive home every year. And I drive home every year. And
that's not like across the street either.
It's about 19, you know.
With the whole family or by yourself?
No, not my family, no. There's no mental clarity coming in a car with five kids.
Right.
No. So, yeah, it's just me. And
we have five kids, too, and I'm with you.
Yeah, it's just kind of a way to, you know, to process the year and, you know, the successes and the failures. And, you know, and I've got a place that I go and I hunt a lot and I do some things. And my wife's gracious enough to give me some – time
so
off
now,
and
it's a long drive. You have like a path you always go, and you have stop points, and you get a little routine. That's kind of nice.
Yeah,
that's kind of comforting, right?
I mean, I know all the stopping points between Orchard Park and Ruston, Louisiana. I've got them figured out. So, you know, they just flush it out. And I typically physically I won't do anything for a month.
Yeah,
I'm just like I try not to break a sweat for a month.
I'm working on my 20th year doing 20, that.
Good for you. Well, at least there's hope for what I really want to accomplish.
I'm on the longest off season of all time.
No, you're going to have to give me that program because I'm going to love doing that. But that's a little easier said than done, chasing three little boys all that around.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then I'll just kind of ease my way into it. You know, I'll start being a little more active, maybe not with weights and things like that, but, you know, maybe I'll go walk and play golf or go play tennis.
We used to just go out and, like, even if you play racquetball or just compete.
Just
at something.
Just go out and really get moving
active.
And then just kind of build from there to where we're at this point now. I mean, we're lifting, we're running, we're doing some football drills. And, you know, in middle of my 30s here, you know, I can't ramp up and ramp down with my body. Peak-wise, I can't do that over and over. So, you know, it's kind of for me, it's a slow and steady climb at this point till we get to training camp and into September. So I'm ready to go when we get there.
Yeah, one more question for you. On that drive, that long drive home, as you thought back about the 2017 season, how much did you relive what went on in Miami and here on New Year's Eve last year, that day, that magical day when the playoff drought ended?
Yeah, I mean, you know, more than anything, it was – being with my boys was really cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've kind of been in our meetings and like, okay, you know, a name will pop up and we'll say, hey, we'll ask a random question. You know, what's your favorite car? If you could meet any celebrity living or dead, who would it be? And then the one has been, you know, what's your favorite football memory?
Yeah.
And, you know, to this point, we won a national championship when I was in college, which was great. And, you know, I mean, you're living with those guys and you're doing a lot. So it's a lot of great memories. But, you know, you walk in there – and I think I've told you this, maybe I haven't. You know, I've been out on the field doing CBS interviews and different things.
That day?
That after the Miami game, and my boys were on the field with me. And as I'm walking in the locker room, I hear Vic Carucci say, bleep, Baltimore got an interception, it's over. So I've got about 30 feet of walking into the locker room with my sons. I'm like, okay, your attitude is going to determine how this goes. You've got your boys with you. You're walking into a locker room that's probably going to be decimated. Like, are you going to be thankful for a winning season? Or are you going to enjoy this time with your sons and have a good attitude? Because, you know, frankly, at that time, I mean, are you walking in there wearing that jersey for the last time? Sure. You know, you never know. And then I walk in there, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have fun with my sons. I'm going to be grateful for this situation. And I'm walking in, and then I'm like, wait, yeah, what happened?
The interception got overturned.
Yeah. And so the overturning point was I was in limbo with – basically, I'm in the darkest. I'm like,
I'm about to flip out. I'm with you.
And I walk in. I'm like, well, what happened? They're like, oh, no interception. They overturned it. And then everything from that point forward you see on camera. So it was just – it was such a fun time. And, you know, obviously – winning that championship was great, but being there with all those guys and those teammates and
your boys.
You know, and my boys. But, you know, like being there with Russ and Bud Carpenter and Woody
and all those guys
that have been here for so long.
Listen, I you know, here the old teams that I was on that did all that stuff, and we had a 35-3 comeback and all that stuff and the Super Bowl. Listen, for the history of the franchise, that moment – was right up there with all the moments that they talk about, those 90s. That moment, because of experience, getting experience with you guys. I mean, I watched that video 20 times, and I tear up every time because I know what it's like.
Yeah.
That was one of the great – and all the fans from the ownership all the way down to Charlie Sixpack.
Yeah.
And they were all – they all did it together.
Yeah.
It was a moment like none other in Bill's history. Really cool.
Yeah, I'll say this. To a man – when asked that question, if that person was here last year, that was it for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
No matter where they had been and what they had done, anybody that was here last year, guys that had been around the league for a long time, guys that were here for the last five games of the season, Ricky Hadley, we picked him up towards the end of the year. They asked him this morning, he goes, man, that locker room and experiencing that.
There's nothing. That has been their answer.
I have never
heard about that. A moment like that, and because there was no social media, there was no simultaneous broadcast. It could never have happened up until then, and it truly was a once in a lifetime moment for not just because everybody was there together, made it that moment.
Yeah,
it was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Great memory, Kyle. Yeah. Thanks for spending
great seeing
once again.
Man.
You spent. I'd ask you to be too long on the show, right? I know that's a
I'll see you January. You know, you didn't read. You got to read the fine
I gotta
print
the fine
that
print
new contract.
The new contract.
Says, I'll see you once a year.
Kyle Williams in studio with us. Thanks, Kyle. Yep. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
With more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. Again, our thanks to Kyle Williams spending all that time with us. Kyle got into it. And, you know, I knew, obviously, anybody who watched the video, anybody who was there, I did both. I was there in Miami and watched the video. You knew that was a big deal New Year's Eve last year in the Bills, that locker room and the trip home. And I knew Kyle felt that way, but, man, he went off, Steve. That really still resonates with him.
I think he's not alone. I mean, you talk to Bills fans everywhere. They'll tell you, they'll give you the rundown of where they were and who they were with. And that goes right up to Kim and Terry Pegula. I mean, they know what they were doing at that moment. And it's something that, you know, you always say about how social media is kind of eroded away at the character. That's one of the cool times when it really helped, when everybody could watch together and you knew it was going to happen and you could see each other and the reaction and all over, you know, Bills Mafia people everywhere had their videos going. It was just a lot of fun. A
couple of tweets on that. Eric Richardson tweets in, favorite player of all time, Kyle Williams, the heart and soul of the Buffalo Bills. And here's one other one that I like. Reed Craig, most important question for Kyle Williams, how many touchdowns are you going to get this year? His touchdown in that game, that New Year's Eve game, just an incredible moment of the season. That those few minutes of that game, maybe even an hour or so, and Kyle's touchdown, the end of the game, Bills win, and then, of course, the Bengals win.
Yeah, the roller coaster of getting that interception called back and then getting to the 4th and 12, or maybe it was the next play or a couple of plays later.
Crazy.
And having the ball caught for the first down, and then the missed tackle or whatever when they get turned, it was
still hard to believe that it happened that way.
It was so cool.
I know. Hey, we're 9 days from the draft. Our Twitter poll: which other NFL team could most affect the Buffalo Bills' first round draft plans? Want to hear that from you? 56% of you say it's the New York Giants. sitting there with number two. 22% of you say it's the New York Jets. 14% of you say the Browns. 8% have somebody else in mind. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-552-550.
Former teammate of mine, Bucky Brooks, who writes, I believe it's he writes for NFL.com. Yes. He's got this trade thing going that's because you know we're talking about this too much when this stuff comes up. He's got the Bills going to the number one pick of the draft, Browns flipping to number two with the Giants, and the Giants going to number four, taking the Browns' number four pick. That's got to be convoluted because there's got to be that's the basis of the end game, except for there'll be other draft picks and stuff, I would imagine, mixed in with all those picks. And
does he say
around.
What the Bills have to do to get from 12 to 1?
Man, I don't want to get into that, man, because it's, you know, we got to give up probably, I don't know. And who knows what the Browns get for flipping 1 to 2. You know, but
look, everything's on the table.
Listen, it's all on the table. And, you know the thing, and I was thinking about this because that's all we do. You know, it's kind of comforting because this is the first era in Bill's history, or at least in my memory, where we seem to have a head coach and a general manager who will make any move they can think of to try and get better. They don't sit pat for any length of time. They make trade. They did the first trade from 21 up to 12. They got the draft picks. And they're trading players for draft picks. They did all of these moves. And they just don't seem afraid to pick up the phone and act like all of us would act if we had the power to pick up the phone and call these other GMs and offer these trades. So it's kind of comforting as a Bills fan to know that you got a GM and a head coach that will think of this stuff and say, how about this? And see if it flies, see if they can get a taker on the deal or at least get a conversation started. And to me, I think that's the funnest thing to think about this year, rather than other years, you don't have that level of underlying frustration, thinking that they're not even calling these teams, you know, they're not even thinking about this because they never trade. They don't trade. Well, these guys, I don't think they would. So it takes that underlying frustration of never doing anything,
right? Because of what they've done already.
Because of what they've done, yeah. And this Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. They did all these moves. They got rid of all these great players, got these draft picks, and got better.
Yeah,
which is the impossible move, right? I mean, you don't trade all these guys and get all these draft picks and set yourself up for this great draft, having $100 million under the cap next year. You don't do all that and still get to the playoffs. And they did, and that's why I just feel you got to feel rejuvenated about how this offseason is going to go, and you just can't wait to see what they're going to do in this draft.
Yeah, well, we talked about it yesterday. They have people behind them. This group, McDermott and Bean, they have won over the fans based on their first year. Not just making the playoffs, ending the drought, but the moves that got them there and the type of team they've assembled. And they have a big surplus, I think, of goodwill built among fans that people are expressing now going into this draft 9 days away.
Yeah, it's still frustrating, though, because, you know, everybody's got their own. Everybody's the general manager. Everybody's got their own opinion. I said it right at the end of the show yesterday. Yeah. They take whatever quarterback they want. If they could trade up to the number one pick, like Bucky Brooks is saying on NFL.com, the Bills go to number one, the Browns go to number two, and the Giants go to number four or whatever, and they pick their guy, there's going to be a large percentage of Bills fans that go, yeah, you picked the wrong guy. You should have taken Saquon Barkley, or you should have taken Josh Rosen, not Sam Darnold. You should have taken. It's impossible to have everybody say, "Yeah, that's our guy."
Yeah, well,
at least in this, at least in this draft,
it makes it great.
Oh,
it makes
gosh!
It fun. All right, a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Giants. Are they the key team sitting there in the first round for the Bills and everybody else? We'll talk with Jordan Renan from ESPN.com, NFL Nation, and the New York Giants. Plus, we'll get your phone calls on the air too. About which team matters to the Bills as far as ahead of them in the draft, about what the Bills' draft strategy should be. And we'll hear more from some of the players, some of the veterans who spoke today as the Bills wrap up day two of their offseason conditioning program. All of that coming up after the top of the hour. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive, the Buffalo Bills have made it through day two of their offseason conditioning program. That wrapped up just about 1 hour ago. They'll continue at that for the rest of the week. The Bills, with one roster move today, they released defensive end Cap Cappy, who joined the team last November, played in the final four games of last season. Five tackles, one sack, and one forced fumble. Cap Cappy released by the Buffalo Bills earlier today before day two of the offseason program. Fred Jackson is going to take tomorrow to retire officially as a member of the Buffalo Bills, according to reports. He'll sign a one-day contract with the Bills and then retire. He's 37 years old. Fred Jackson spent 8 of his 9 years in the NFL as a member of the Bills, 5,500 rushing yards. He will officially retire as a Buffalo Bill tomorrow. Former Jets center Nick Mangold, one of the NFL's most decorated offensive linemen during his 11-year run with the team, announced his retirement today on Twitter. He's 34 years old. He sat out last season after being released by the Jets in February of last year. He'll sign a one-day contract next week and then retire as a New York Jet. Georgia linebacker Roquan Smith is still continuing his meetings around the NFL. He is visiting with the San Francisco 49ers. Smith meeting with the Niners today. He is regarded as one of the top linebackers, if not the top linebacker, in this year's NFL draft. He was scheduled to meet with the Niners before linebacker Reuben Foster was charged with 3 felonies last week. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have picked up the fifth-year option on quarterback Jameis Winston for 2019. The deadline is May 3rd. Winston, the first-round pick in 2015, will earn just under $21 million next season for the Bucs. The Bisons, what do you think? Canceled again. The game that they had scheduled tonight against Louisville has been moved to Louisville, and their doubleheader, which was scheduled for tomorrow, has been canceled due to weather conditions. The Bisons won't play the Louisville Bats at home at any point this season, the first time that's happened in 11 years. That is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Steve Tasker, that is incredible. The weather just wreaking havoc on the Bison.
I'm glad it's not just Buffalo either. It's Northeast and all the way over to Minneapolis. I mean, they're getting hammered over there as well. So,
hey, we talked as the show got started today. We've talked a lot about where the Bills sit. The draft 9 days away, obviously, and who is in position to affect the Buffalo Bills. That's our Twitter poll, and more than half of you responding to the Twitter poll as of right now say it's Big Blue, it's the New York Giants. I think we all feel that way. Which team, the question goes, which team in the NFL will have the most impact on how the draft plays out for the Buffalo Bills? And 56% of you say it's the New York Giants. We thought we better look into that more by going back to a guest we had about a month or so ago. He is the ESPN NFL Nation reporter for the New York Giants. Jordan Renan on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with us. Jordan, it's John Murphy and Steve Tasker up here in snowy Orchard Park, New York. It seems to me the Giants are not just in position to affect the Bills, but almost everybody else as the first round moves along, huh?
Yeah, they're in a good spot. I mean, if you're Dave Gettleman, you got to feel pretty good about where you're at in regards to they can go in a lot of different directions, right? They could take that quarterback if they really wanted. They have a 37-year-old quarterback, Eli Manning, who's going to be 38 before the season's over. They can go with the top player because we're assuming the Cleveland Browns can – top non-quarterback, at least. Because we're assuming the Cleveland Browns are going to take a quarterback. And then they have the option of trading down and collecting, really getting a monster haul for that number two pick. I mean, look, the price that I look at is what did the Cleveland Browns get 2 years ago when they were sitting at number two and the Eagles moved up to that spot, right? That is what the number two pick cost. That's what the most recent history shows of what it cost to get into that number two spot. And the answer at that time was it turned out to – essentially because they swapped fourth-round picks too. But it was essentially the number 8 pick, a future first-round pick, a second and a third-round pick. And that's what the price was for number two. So Dave Gettleman and the Giants got to feel pretty good right now sitting in that spot.
Yeah, no question. It's like 4 draft picks. And if you call it a push at the fourth-round swap, it's 2 ones, a second and a third, for the second pick, and that was with the 8th pick overall rather than the 12th pick overall.
More expensive with 12 than it is
right.
with 8.
Exactly. I got one thing to ask you, Jordan. Can you give us a pulse of what the Giants fans think? It would be my thought that they would want one of those top quarterbacks. They know Eli's 38, going to be 38 years old. It's a team that needs to make sure they have the succession plan in place. They don't want to be a team that picks second in the draft on a regular basis. And it seems to me a no-brainer just to sit tight and pick number two and pick the quarterback that you want after Cleveland gets their guy.
You would think, but life does not always work that way. There's the Eli Manning cult out there, you know, and they honestly are sitting there, and there's a lot. I mean, I think it's probably a little bit the minority, but there's a good chunk of fans who want the Giants to get the best player, and they don't need to worry about quarterback now. Eli Manning's got 2-3 years left, and I personally think that if you really believe that, I mean, that is really wishful thinking at this point. He hasn't played well the last couple of years. He's going to be 38 before if they make the playoffs this year, in the middle of the playoffs. It's hard for me to see a guy spike back up at 38 years old, but it's really sort of split the fan support of whether they want a quarterback and to be set. Because, look, here's the argument for a quarterback, right? The Giants have Eli Manning for 16 years right now. He plays out this season. It's the 16th year. They eventually move to the new quarterback. They get another 10, 12 years. And, you know, you're hoping you get even more than that. But let's say they get 10, 12 years out of a franchise quarterback with the number two pick. You're talking about almost a 30-year stretch straight with a franchise quarterback. I mean, teams die for that, right? I mean, they try over and over and over again to get that kind of stability. And so that opportunity sits there with the Giants. But you'd be surprised how many people think that is not the way this team should go, and that there's a big portion of Giants fans who think that Saquon Barkley is the right pick for this team right now.
You know,
and that they can turn it around and compete immediately.
You know, Jordan, I'm not a member of any cult, but I almost agree with the argument that, hey, the Giants were bad last year, but they weren't that bad, and maybe they could add some great players in the draft early this year, at least one great player, patch up their defense, and move on, and maybe win again, you know, win 9, 10, 12 games with Eli Manning. Am I crazy to think that?
Should that be your organization's goal? Oh, let's slap it together so we can win 8, 9, 10 games?
Well, I was thinking more of 9, 10, 12, but you do have
but here's the problem. Here's the problem.
Well, one thing, Gettleman is not a young man. You know, he doesn't need to build for 5 years from now. Gettleman wants to win now, I'm sure.
Can you really win now? You're installing a new offense. You're installing a new defense. You have a 38-year-old quarterback. There's things that are saying this isn't the time to win now. This is the time to rebuild. If they had a system in place. You know, Steve knows it. When you're installing new offensive and defensive systems, this is a process. This isn't an overnight thing that's going to happen. It seems like a flawed approach to me. I think they're kind of caught in the middle right now, and it's the decision Dave Gettleman's ultimately going to have to make with this draft pick.
That's why
I think nobody really knows which direction the Giants are going to go with the pick. I mean, they say, my feeling is they will take a quarterback if their guy is there at number two. But that's a big if, because I think that's a pretty small crew of quarterbacks that they might want. And namely, of course, that's one, because they're picking number two.
What rhetoric has come out of the ownership? What do the Maras say about what their philosophy would be? I mean, they saw the move from Eli last year when Ben McAdoo benched him and made that switch. So they kind of got that monkey off their back of the game streak and all that
right. Out of
it. And surprisingly, later on, we found out that the Maras knew full well it was going to happen. They didn't like the way it was handled, but they knew. So do you think that there's an inkling there that they're saying, listen, let's get that guy, get our quarterback, and forget about trading down out of this at any price?
Yeah, well, this is the interesting part, right? So week 4 or 5 last year, they're 0-4 and 0-5, somewhere around that point. I heard that John Mara basically instructed the scouting staff to, all right, we need to start looking at quarterbacks. We're going to be drafting really high. We're 0-4, 0-5, and then they lost Odell. So they knew that the season was going to be a total disaster at that point, right? So they say, well, we've got to go start looking at quarterbacks. We're going to draft really high. We have to at least do our due diligence, right? So you think, all right, they're on track. They're looking at the future. Then they make the whole Eli benching, the whole move. You say, okay, for the future of the franchise, you should at least take a look at Davis Webb, last year's third-round pick, right? Makes total logical sense. They already benched Eli. They're heading in that direction. But then they make a U-turn, right? And they say, whoa, let's get rid of anyone. First of all, anyone who basically was anti-Eli got fired. That's essentially what happened, right? The people who were ready to make the moves to move to at least start the process of looking past Eli Manning were fired. Davis Webb then did not get on the field. They went back to Eli Manning and played him the rest of the year when they were 3-they didn't even have 3 wins at that point. They won one of the last week of the season. So they're 2-13, and they still played Eli Manning, and they didn't look towards the future with the quarterback. They didn't want to make that move. So, you know, they say they're open to everything and any position, and they say that they're looking at quarterbacks, but I have my doubts that ownership is fully committed to moving on. I think they've been convinced, and they said when they went through the hiring of the coach process, they said, and the general manager, they said everyone agreed that Eli still had good years left, and that there were all these other, they blamed it on everything else, all the other problems, the offensive line, this, that, they were all bigger problems than Eli, which might be true, but yeah. You know, when you get to 37, 38, 39, eventually the end's going to come in this league, for most people at least, maybe Tom Brady, maybe not Tom Brady, but
yeah.
For most normal humans, so ownership has kind of backtracked on that a little bit. So I don't think they're totally sold on needing to do the quarterback thing right now.
Well, Jordan, one of the things I got coming out of New York was once they made the Eli switch, there was such an outcry, not just from the New York fans, but across the league, because Eli is such a respected human being. He's got 2 Super Bowl wins. There seemed to me that when everybody got fired for benching Eli and all the post-Eli people were fired and let go, and it was known that it was going to be Eli's team for the rest of the season, I thought, for me, that was a little bit of a reaction or a knee-jerk reaction to the backlash from benching him. I don't know that it was a shift in policy, except just to get through that season with the least amount of blowback as they could before they did actually have put the plan in place for replacing him. I thought all the stuff about Webb not getting back on the field was really a reaction to the outcry for the way Eli and his benching was handled.
I agree to a degree, but at the same time, is if you're looking, you still have to keep in mind what's best for our franchise moving forward, right? And yeah. What's best for their franchise moving forward, it's almost like a no-brainer, is to see what the young quarterback you just drafted has. I mean, a little bit. For him to get 0 snaps, it doesn't seem to coincide with the idea that you need to look at what's best for the future of the franchise in regards to who the quarterback of the future is. And that would have been valuable information that the new regime could have. Now the new regime is sitting there, right? And they're saying, we have a third-round pick from last year. We've never seen him practice with our own eyes. We've never seen him take a snap in a regular game. What do we do with this guy now? He's almost essentially a college prospect for them now,
yeah.
With it, knowing a little bit more in the background of what kind of person he is, how he works, and that, you know, you have a little bit of a fourth quarter and fourth preseason game film on him. But it's almost like he's a college quarterback to them, and they said that. They're comparing Davis Webb as a college quarterback to the quarterback in this draft. That's the way that they have to approach it now. So I think you're right. To a large degree, they didn't like the blowback. They were trying to save face. But at the same time, as they could have had at least an opportunity, and even in the last couple games. The Giants fans wanted to see Davis Webb in the last couple games. They didn't need to see Eli Manning when the team was 2-12, 2-13.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
At that point, nobody cared. Really, nobody cared.
One more question for you, Jordan. In this deal, if the Giants are going to pick a quarterback, one of those, you know, early, one of the premium quarterbacks, who do you think they're leaning towards, number one? And is it a quarterback that they can get not at number two, maybe make a trade and move down a little bit? What are you hearing about that?
Yeah, I think it's more likely they have one guy, maybe two guys at this point. And I think Sam Darnold's the most likely. Look, he fits their profile. He sort of handles himself like Eli in a real professional manner, has handled the pressure in the past at USC, which was a pretty big spotlight. he checks a lot of the boxes. And when you talk to NFL scouts, he has that makeup off the field that teams love, that you really want, right? And that is such an important thing for a quarterback to know that he's, A, going to be in there every day working hard, be the first one in, the last one out. Like, you need that from your quarterback to know that he can get in the huddle and everybody respects him, and that what he says, nobody's going to roll their eyes at and shake their head, and he's going to be the leader. So I really see that being their guy. I think maybe Josh Rosen had a chance to blow him away in this process. I'd be hard-pressed to see Baker Mayfield being a fit for them from the people that I talked to. You know, there's a lot of stuff with Baker Mayfield. Not that it's a negative. Some teams would view it as a positive. But the Giants are going from Eli Manning, who handles himself in the way he does, to have a brash, open quarterback, a fiery guy who isn't afraid to say he thinks he's the best and he wants to play right away, like Baker Mayfield, I don't think would be a natural fit for the Giants. And Josh Allen, it's hard for me to believe that Dave Gettleman, and I know he has his allies inside the Giants because people sit there and you watch that arm talent, they love that arm talent. But, I mean, I talked to one evaluator, and not with the Giants, but his comment to me about Josh Allen was not a good player right now. Right? Meaning that when you watch the tape, he's up and down. He's never been a star. He's never been that guy who's almost like the best player on the field, right? So Dave Gettleman's a big tape guy. It's hard for me to see him sitting there watching Josh Allen's tape and saying, that's our guy. We have to have this guy. That's a hard sell for me. But, hey, it's the draft. You never know. And I don't think the Giants are going to move down for a quarterback. If they want their quarterback, they're going to take their quarterback in number two.
Right? Jordan, I lied. I have one more quick question. Sorry to keep you so long. It seems to me the new coach probably certainly will have a say in this. Why wouldn't he want a brand new quarterback to start with, right? He probably would love to get his hands on a brand new quarterback come out in the draft to mold that guy.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I agree. I think Pat Shurmur would probably prefer a quarterback, but you know, ultimately he's not the one making the final call. Like you said, he'll have input. Also, it depends how much he likes these guys. Look, Pat Shurmur's a guy who he made magic with mediocre quarterbacks the last few stops he's been in, right? He was the guy who was the offensive coordinator with Chip Kelly in Philadelphia when Nick Foles had that monster season. He made do with Sam Bradford last year. He made do with Case Keenum this past year. And all those guys had decent seasons. So I think he looks at it maybe as, look, I would love my own quarterback and my quarterback to move forward with. But at the same time, I can make it work with Eli Manning. Eli Manning could still be successful, right? He still does things where you look at him and say, okay, you know, he can win at the line of scrimmage. He could still make a lot of throws. So I think Pat Shurmur says, oh, I can make do with Eli Manning. And Davis Webb was a pretty good talent last year. These are guys I can work with. I'm not in desperate need to say I need a quarterback. Like, we have to go this direction. I think it would be that way if the Giants didn't have Eli Manning sitting there and they had this gaping hole at quarterback in the short term. But I don't think that's necessarily the case.
Jordan, thanks for this. We appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Anytime. Good luck. You guys got to tell me before I go. Are the Bills really capable of moving up into the top five?
Well, you said it yourself. They've got two ones this year, two twos this year, two threes this year, and a full complement of draft picks next year. So if they've got the capital to do it and still leave themselves with enough picks in this draft to make a difference. But the question is, are they going to have a partner high enough to get into the spot they want? And is the partner going to be willing to do it for, you know, the price in the chart?
Yeah,
or are they going to ask? Or are they going to make it impossible to do? Because the Bills have said all along they're not going to chase somebody with too much, paying too much and giving up too much.
Right. Well.
But it's
come
there.
Down to the last second on draft day is my assumption about this here.
Yeah, you might be right. Jordan, thanks. We appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Jordan Renan, ESPN NFL Nation Giants reporter. We wanted to get a look at the Giants because You believe that, too, as far as Twitter is concerned. We asked the question today, which of the other 31 NFL teams have the most influence on what the Buffalo Bills might be doing for their first-round pick? And on Twitter, most of you think it is the Giants. That's what we've discovered on Twitter anyway. You can ring us up and let us know what you think, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. But on Twitter, let me find if I can find it here. On Twitter, 56% of you say it's the Giants that have the could have the most impact on the Bills' first-round pick. 22% say it's the Jets at 3. 14% say it's the Browns at 1 and 4. 8% say somebody else. If you'd like to discuss, phone lines open to 803-0550 and toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Jordan asked us the question. You answered it about the Bills' plans. And you have it down. I mean, you said it yesterday. I heard you say it earlier this morning. We were talking about something else. It comes down to basically three considerations for the Bills, right?
Right.
If they move up.
It comes down to the player they want. Is there a guy in this draft they want more than any other? Is he going to be available? Because if you can't get the Browns to trade out of number one, that means you got to pick it's number two, which brings the Giants into play. You got to have a player that you think is worth the price, whatever the price is. If he's going to be Aaron Rodgers, it really doesn't matter the price.
Right.
But if you know if your job's on the line, you got and you're not you know you think he is, but you know if you're willing to pay that price, pay it, and if he turns out you're okay. You got to have that player. The second thing is you got to have a partner. You got to have another team that's willing to say, okay, we'll take your 12 pick and that and your 22 pick and a second and a third, and we'll make the swap with you for you for the number two pick or whatever else it is. We'll make that swap. You got to have a player that you like and a partner, and then of course, the price.
Yeah.
You can't give up too much to get the guy, or you sabotage your ability to be successful in other ways.
What do you think? Give us a call. Here is Matt in Syracuse. Go ahead, Matt. You're on the air with us.
Hi, this is Mark in Syracuse.
How Mark, okay. It says Matt on my screen. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, no problem. Hey, thanks for taking my call. First-time caller, a lifelong Bills fan. And I'm hoping the Bills do not trade up because I think it's going to cost way too much money. Basically, you know, the big talk is – franchise quarterback. Go up and move and get your franchise quarterback. But really, how many franchise quarterbacks do you think there are in the league? And of those guys, where were they drafted? Aaron Rodgers late in the first round. Drew Brees in the second round. I just don't see the value there. And 22, if you stuck around at 22, hey, your next guy, that could be linebacker Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis was our 26th pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I'm really thinking about stay where you're at. More value, more picks, more future starters.
Is there any price that you would pay, Mark, if you knew the guy was going to be Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees,
Aaron Rodgers,
Tom Brady, you name it?
Absolutely, but you know, the Giants are going to want way too much. If it was 12 and 22, sure, I could justify that.
Just the two picks.
And it's going to be too much.
Anything more than the two number one draft picks you think is too much?
Well, if it's close, I would do it. But the same token, let's go the other way. What if Ray Lewis was there at 5? Would you take him? You know what I mean? There's a good chance you can get a fantastic linebacker.
If you knew he was Ray Lewis, sure you would. Absolutely.
Well,
that's
the whole point. You don't know. You don't know if Sam Darnold's going to be Aaron Rodgers or Josh Rosen's going to be Drew Brees. You don't know.
When was Jim Kelly drafted? 12, 13, 14? I forget. You know what I mean? I would just, you know, stay there. Look at what Tre'Davious White did last year when we got him in the 20s. I mean, I just don't know. What's the opportunity cost? I think anybody's going to shake us down to get in the top five.
What if –
too expensive.
Could you be happy if the Bills stay at number 12 and get a player like Mason Rudolph?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Especially when you consider who you might get at 22 with that.
Right.
And the same token is you can probably get Mason Rudolph at 22. You could potentially get him in the second round. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
How many great football players could start with your first and second round draft picks, potentially?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's the other side of the coin, and thanks for the call, Mark. And you're right. That's the big balancing act. If you knew the guy was going to turn out the way all these great players we compare them to turned out, you would pay that price. But It's all fun and games until 50 we read it in an article. It's all fun and funny until 50 people lose their jobs and all their families have to relocate, and then the team is set back 5 years in the draft. They don't recover until all their cap capital is spent, and they never recover from it. It's all fun and games to say, hey, pay the price for the guy because he's going to be, you know, he's a quarterback. He got to have a franchise quarterback, and the guy doesn't turn out to be everything you thought he was going to be. For whatever reason, that's irrelevant, the reason, whether it's bad coaching or an injury or he gets sick, whatever the reason, that's the big balancing act. Sure, you'd pay it if you knew it, but you can't tell the future, and you don't know the future until a guy gets in your building, plays with your players, gets coached by your coaches, plays for your fans for a full 16-week season through a training camp, stays healthy, and has everything go his way. You don't know about the guy.
We'll talk more about this. Which other NFL team has the most to say about what the Bills will do in the draft next week, 9 days away from the draft? We'll talk more about that. We'll hear from some of the Bills players who are here today, including A.J. McCarron, new Bills quarterback. We'll hear what he had to say to the media today when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. And if you're watching on MSG, there it is. That's Orchard Park. That's New Era Field. Covered in snow.
It's so bad.
It is so bad. We can't talk about it. It's
depressing. For you on the radio, for you on the radio listening in the Buffalo listening area, you know what we're talking about because you're out probably outside driving your car in it. But for those on MSG watching us simulcast, we've got a shot of the stadium and it. Think of the Indianapolis Colts game this year.
Yeah, that's kind of what it looks like right
now.
Unbelievable. We can't talk about it because there's nothing good to say about the weather. And we're just repeating what everybody's saying. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's whining about it. It's awful.
Well, you know,
and I will say again, as I said to you and Kyle, fortunately, it's not just Buffalo, right?
Yes, not just us. It's nationwide.
It's awful. Let's take a call here from Don in Rochester. Don, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. As far as the draft, listening to McDermott and Bean talk this morning. On their website there, I kind of feel that they're satisfied. I think they think that they have the future franchise quarterback with A.J. McCarron.
When did they say that? I didn't hear that, Don. What did they – I know they like – I didn't get that from – I listened to both of them yesterday and talked to Sean on the show here today.
Yeah, what'd you say – what did you hear – what'd you hear that made you think that secretly that they are going to do that?
Because – When they were saying, like, in the same sentence, looking after a franchise, or maybe we have it already.
Right. I got you.
Oh, okay. Maybe they do have it already.
Maybe.
And to me, I think, AJ, I think he's got all the capabilities of being that.
Why hasn't he done it so far?
Because he's been the backup to Andy Dalton and kind of replacing Andy Dalton is like Frank Reich coming in and taking over for Jim Kelly.
Kelly's a Hall of Famer. Andy Dalton's not going to the Hall of Fames. You know, he wasn't backing up Tom Brady. I'm just saying the Bengals have had a look at McCarron for a couple of years and never thought he was good enough to start there. I hope he's great here. I really do. And we're going to hear from him in a second, by the way. But I just don't know if there's any evidence that suggests that he's that guy here.
I don't know, Murph, because here's the thing, and I get it. You're right. He didn't knock it. But he did play well when he got in there for four games, and he played better in the playoff game than Andy Dalton has played in all of his playoff games.
Why is Dalton starting all these years?
Because he played so well for those years. They're not going to ditch him or throw him to the curb. They're paying him $114 million.
Yeah, exactly.
Andy Dalton's entrenched.
Yep.
If McCarron were better, he would have played. I believe that.
I don't know.
Why?
Because Mike Brown is the owner of the Browns.
Are the Bengals like idiots?
Of the Bengals, I'm sorry. Mike Brown is the owner of the Bengals, and he is older than old school. He invented old school.
Old enough not to know who can win for
and him? Even if Marvin – and I've had conversations with Marvin Lewis. Mike Brown's mind is hard to change. I don't think there's any question that if you got a guy like Andy Dalton entrenched as your starter, there's not too many head coaches that are willing to just, you know, make that switch and stay there.
I hope you and the caller are right down in Rochester. A.J. McCarron spoke to the media today a couple of minutes ago here at One Bills Drive, and he talked about his offseason work and what he has planned for the next couple of weeks here.
I mean, just come in and work day in and day out. You know, try to build a chemistry as best as we can, with each and every guy, and, from the offense to the defense to the special teams, and actually become a team and, create a culture of, family and pushing each other to be the best that we can be day in and day out to win ball games. That's what it comes down to. So, this is the best time to do that, to really focus on each other, learn about each other, likes, dislikes, and really just get to know each other. So that's what I'm really taking, each day as.
With all that you're adapting to here, AJ, is there some measure of comfort that you've got a battery made here that has snapped you a football several times, in your career in the NFL?
With Russ? Yeah. I've known Russ. We came in the same year. And I've known him for a while, and he's awesome. I love pushing his buttons, and he does the same with me. But he's a unbelievable hard worker, and super smart. And he's always been fun to work with, and looking forward to the future.
Andrew, you've been aware of this since you came here. But what is it like seeing some of these young draft quarterbacks coming in here? Josh Allen, I believe, was here yesterday. I'm not sure if we get a chance to see them. But just as the draft approaches, what do you see, and how does it at all affect you, knowing that this could be a team that could be picking a quarterback?
Well, no. To answer the first part, yeah, I've seen a couple guys and, went up and talked to them and just asked them how the whole process is going for them. But from the draft point, no. I can't worry about that because it creates mental clutter for myself. So if I create mental clutter for myself, that I can't become the best player, the best teammate that I need to be for this team. I learned during my whole draft process of the draft is a crazy deal. You can never predict it. And all the people that say they can predict it are lying to you. So I promise you that. So it's just a crazy deal. But my focus, like I said, is to be the best leader, the best teammate, the best servant for the guys that are in this locker room. And that's what I'm trying to be. So for me to worry about ifs and all and what could happen, it's just not a part of my DNA. So I've never been that way and won't ever do it. So.
I used to be an underestimated. Now you slipped through that draft and you've kind of been underestimated ever since. Are you kind of accustomed to that?
Like I said, in the first press conference when I first got here, everybody has labels for you. Whether it's not just me, whether it's you guys, people, saying whatever about writing, how you write an article or whatever. Everybody in life goes through that. You can't sit there day in and day out and worry about what people think about your article, because then you can't be the best writer that you could or reporter that you could possibly be. So I can't sit there and worry about what somebody else thinks about me, a bridge quarterback or not that good of a quarterback, whatever it is. I know I trust in myself. I have self-confidence. I think that's what makes people successful. So, and I worry about what my teammates and my coaches think, and I just go from there. So I don't worry about labels. I love playing this game, and I love being part of a team, a great team. So I'm just excited to be here.
You're only 2 days in, but, have you just at first blush the offensive playbook, and have you kind of jumped ahead, sneaked ahead a few chapters to kind of see what else is in there, kind of gone beyond what Brian's kind of gone over with you to this point?
Well, I can't give you all our secrets, so. No, I mean, it's, you know, it's a little different from what I've been accustomed to because I was in the same system for 4 years. But I'm working my tail off to learn it and do everything the right way and how I need to do it. So, like I said, I'm really just taking it day in and day out and really going from there. There's going to be highs and lows. That's one of the things I've learned about this league. And even, you know, playing at Alabama, it's you're going to have highs and lows. It's don't get too low and don't get too high. You know, find that happy medium and ride with it. And so right now I'm just trying to take everything in stride and then, you know, like I said, take it day in and day out.
It's confident if it's not cocky, that you had to sit behind Dalton. Are you confident, given your first real shot to have the number one job, that you'll keep it and prove it again that you've been underestimated all along?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm confident in myself. Like, you know, I've never been boastful. If people want to say cocky, that's fine. Like, the way I've always been taught, my dad taught me, my mom taught me, the great coaches I had coming up. Whenever you're inside those white lines, you can bring your different personality out. I mean, like Tom Brady, whenever he steps in, or Big Ben, like, when they step inside those white lines, all the great quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, like, whenever they step inside the white lines, they bring a different side of them out. It's allowed. So, you know, I've always had self-confidence. I don't see that as a knock. I think us as people should believe in what we do and believe in yourself and have self-confidence. And that's what pushes you to be great and to not let people down. And that's what I'm about. So.
Hey, AJ, given that, mm-hmm. you do have that self-confidence, and, you know, you've had a great career, I'm sure, in high school and obviously at Alabama. How difficult that was for 4 years to not be the guy, to be on the bench for all but four games, knowing that you have all that confidence in yourself, but you weren't getting the chance to let it out?
Well, you learn to adapt and become, you know, when I first got to college, you know, I had to go from starting 4 years as a freshman in high school to learning how to be like what I've always been. You know, when I got to college, what Coach Saban taught me is learning to be a good servant again. You know, figuring out how to be the best teammate from a different role. If it's not a leader, once you first get there, how can I help people be better? So, that was the same thought process for me, you know, when I got to Cincinnati was, all right, I'm not the starter. How can I help AD or anybody else on the team be better on Sunday or Monday or Thursday for them? And that's what I tried to do. And, I mean, you just learn to adapt and, you know, play your role.
AJ McCarron, a couple of minutes of his comments to the media a little bit earlier on here at One Bills Drive on day two of the off-season conditioning program. I like what he had to say, Steve, about what he just said there about being a servant. That's I'm sure that is something that Sean McDermott likes to hear. You know, you're not just a leader, but you're a servant to the entire team too.
It's interesting too. That's exactly what Kyle Williams told us. Yeah. His philosophy was about being a good teammate. He wanted to be as good as he could be by being helping his teammates be as good as they can be, and that's exactly what AJ McCarron echoed right there, independently of what Kyle told us. So one of the great leaders on the Bills team the last 13 years, you got a guy taking snaps now who's got that same kind of philosophy. It's it gives you a sense of, you know, they're sticking to their guns about their philosophy and about the guys they want on. Not only are they good players, but they got to be the right kind of guy.
Got a call on the line from Tom in New York. Tom, are you there? Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, John and Steve.
Hi.
Hi, glad to be with you. And I want to kind of piggyback on the last caller you had from Rochester. I fully believe that A.J. McCarron is the franchise quarterback on the Bills roster right now. And I say that because I followed his career through Alabama. And 4 years ago, going through the draft, I told all of my friends the Bills should get McCarron, and they didn't. And every 4 years since then, or three or four years, I've continually tell my friends they missed the boat. They should have gotten McCarron.
Tom, what have the Bengals missed? How come the Bengals haven't let him play more?
I think only because Andy Dalton has had such success with the Bengals. And the old adage, you know, why fix it if it isn't broken?
Well, how much success has he had? We're not talking about Tom Brady here.
He hasn't had the opportunity. He's had success when he has played, even though it be four starts.
Well, I'll tell you that
my question was,
I'm telling you,
how does Andy Dalton keep A.J. McCarron on the bench all these years?
Murph, I'm telling you, listen, you forget. I covered the Bengals a ton
back in the turn of the century,
the turn of the century when Dick LeBeau was their head coach, when Bruce Coslett was their head coach. They were horrible for year after year after year. They lost. They had double digit loss streaks in multiple seasons. They were terrible, terrible, terrible. Finally, they got Marvin Lewis as a head coach, and then they started going to the playoffs every year. Now, they have not won a playoff game with Andy Dalton, but from where they were at the start of the regime when Marvin Lewis took over to where they are now is light years ahead of where they were. And Mike Brown remembers that. He wants them to be sustainably competitive. He doesn't want to rock the boat in such a way as to take three steps backward for a player like A.J. McCarron who might give him a little something extra than Andy Dalton. I just don't think he'll make that move. And I can't speak to Marvin Lewis whether he believes it. He'll never tell you that he wants anybody other than Andy Dalton, which I can understand as a head coach. But I just don't believe that's an organization that would make that move under any circumstances, given where they were, where Andy Dalton got them to, and ultimately where they haven't been is deep in the playoffs.
Shame on them.
I think it's a legitimate argument.
I believe, you know, if we're betting on throwing down money or who's going to start for the Bills on opening day, I'd probably throw most money down on A.J. McCarron. He probably has the best chance of being Buffalo starter on opening day. But I just think there's a little bit overreaction, not from you, but some of the callers, like he's the franchise quarterback. Really?
Well, I'm not going
nobody's
there yet.
Said that
I'm not
in this couple of years in the league so far. Nobody's given him an opportunity to show that for whatever reason.
I'm not going that far, but I think, like a lot of the callers, he's the guy. I agree with you. No matter who they draft in this draft, almost under any circumstances, A.J. McCarron's going to be their best option when the season opens up because
maybe
he's going to
be
a veteran guy, 4 years in the league. He's going to have a head start on the offense given these 8 weeks that they're going to go through here. He's going to have a good handle on it and go through training camp. He'll be taking the number one reps just because of his veteran nature. I just think he'll be the guy to start the season under any circumstances. But I'm not willing to say forget it. Don't even try and get another quarterback. Don't even try and draft one. Just try and get Saquon Barkley. Try and get Chubb, the pass rusher. Try and get another player. If it falls to them and that one of the guys they like or one of these top five or six quarterbacks is there, I think they should take one. But I am totally sold that A.J. McCarron is going to be a better NFL quarterback, a more traditional, no question, but I think he's going to be a better thrower of the football than they had last year when they went to the playoffs with Tyrod.
Mm.
And I think that's a step that they're willing and ready to take.
The best passer of all of them might be Nathan Peterman, quite frankly. Nathan Peterman might have something to say about this.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to prove that he can throw it to the right jersey.
Well.
I mean, and he had a rough outing. And
one day,
you know,
one afternoon.
People are absolutely still angry at him over the Charger game.
Look at the circumstances and how that went down and the pass rush they faced and balls tipping off fullback's hands and understand what happened there. But all I'm saying is McCarron sure has a chance to be the starter on opening day. He sure does. He has a chance to be a really good player for the Bills. He sure does. But there's a reason why he was available. There's a reason why he was a fifth-round pick. There's a reason why, as a fifth-round pick, he never broke into the starting lineup in Cincinnati until Andy Dalton was hurt. And I don't think it has a whole lot to do with the way the owner thinks as much as it does guys looking at how they play, how they practice, and who gave them the best chance to win.
Let me ask you this, though. What if the Bengals, same quarterback, A.J. McCarron, what if they'd have picked him in the second round or the first round?
They would have overdrafted him that day.
Well, maybe. But would you have said, how come he hasn't played? That's just it. Would they have felt the pressure then as a first round pick? Would they have made that switch?
Yeah.
They said, listen, we got to think, well, let's try it.
Yeah.
Well, then you're talking out of both sides of your mouth because the draft pick doesn't say how good a player the guy is. That's just their – that's
it
just
shows what people thought of him at the time coming out of college. Well, break. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back, John Murphy, Steve Tasker. We're live at One Bills Drive on this snowy Tuesday afternoon. We got another three-hour show tomorrow. Fred Jackson's going to join us tomorrow, scheduled to, after he signs his contract and is released. What do you do, you think, in that short time? I mean, shouldn't they put him to work? Right. while you're on the contract, can you run down to the locker room?
We'll come on the show with us.
Yeah, all right. But what else? I mean, it's a contract, right? I would almost think you'd have to full. You'd
As
have
a
to,
player.
Yeah, it's true. So they won't let him play.
Right.
But Fred will be on the show with us tomorrow.
Maybe we'll work out with him.
Fred will be on the show with us tomorrow. We will also hear more from the Bills players as they're back here for the off-season conditioning program. Steve, you know what's coming up later this week? Some people think it'll be Thursday. Some people think it'll be maybe a little day or two after that. Schedule's coming out. We know who they're playing, home and away, but we're going to find out very shortly when they play these games, like in the next couple of days or two, we believe. Going to find out primetime games, home and away primetime games. Going to find out who they open with. I can't wait. Somebody asked me, one of our producers asked me, do you really care about the schedule? And I said, yes, I care deeply about the schedule, about not as deeply as I do about the draft, but to me it's one of the major off-season events just to know what the schedule looks like, who they're playing, where are we going, when are we going, where's the bye week. When is the primetime game?
That all affects you. And
it affects life. Yeah, it affects life. But even then, it affects the team, I think. It affects the team, what the schedule looks like.
And I think tomorrow or maybe on Friday, we're going to have that about, you know, maybe a Twitter poll about. Well, I'm not going to be here tomorrow, but that's all right.
I think we're going to do it tomorrow just because we don't want to wait in case the schedule
comes out. Who would you like
to
see? I mean, what game, a home game for the – I'd like to know for people, if you're going to call in or tweet at us, what game will you have to see here in Buffalo and which game do you really want to travel to if you could?
Yeah, what's the must-see game? Yeah.
What's a must-see game for everybody? I think probably Jacksonville, people are going to say that.
Yep.
And obviously, you know, Patriots, Dolphins, and the
right.
You know,
and the Jets. So they got they're playing at home, Patriots, Dolphins, Jets, obviously. The Bills are playing Jacksonville here, which, you know, rematch of the
– that could be a primetime game.
Yeah.
They might
rematch of a playoff game. They're playing Tennessee here. That'll be interesting. The Bears are coming here. The Lions are coming here. And the Chargers are coming here. That could be fun, too.
Bears and Lions. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. Where are they going? Yeah. The Bills are going to Miami, New England, the Jets. They're going to Houston to play the Texans. They're going to Indy to play the Colts. We got a couple of laughs out of Frank Reich last weekend about that, right?
Yeah, that's
Bills
right.
Bills at Indy coming up this year. They're going to Green Bay to play the Packers, Minnesota to play the Vikings, and Baltimore to play the Ravens. We'll get the dates this week. Thursday, we think, is the day, but nothing official yet from the league.
Yeah, they usually, and I don't know why this is. It comes out Thursdays. A Tuesday or a Thursday. So it's either going to be this Thursday, or it's going to be Tuesday of next week.
So we'll deal with that tomorrow. We'll talk about what you'd like to see from the schedule, and then we'll see the schedule. Probably Thursday this week, maybe a little bit later. Maybe it's certainly in the next couple of days.
Yes, it's usually out by now.
Yeah,
they're a little late, but you know, there's all kinds of reasons why it's not. It's not easy.
We got a break coming up here, and then after the top of the hour, we're going to talk more about the draft. That's right, 9 days until the draft. Dan Shanka will join us. He is the GM and National Scout for Our Lads Guide to the NFL Draft. Our Lads Scouting Services have been doing it for decades. They do it as well as anybody. We'll talk with Dan Shanka about some of these draft scenarios and their mock draft when we come back. So come on back for that. The John Murphy Show is presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive here in Orchard Park. The Buffalo Bills have wrapped up the second day of their offseason conditioning program. They'll do it again tomorrow here at One Bills Drive. Bills did make one roster move today. Defensive end Cap Cappy was released from the roster, signed last November to the practice squad, and then called up to the active roster, the 53-man roster. Cap Cappy played in the last four games of the season last year for the Bills. Registered 5 tackles, a sack, and a forced fumble, and he is gone now. Cap Cappy released by the Buffalo Bills. Tomorrow, a special ceremonial move. Fred Jackson will retire as a member of the Buffalo Bills, reportedly. Jackson will sign a one-day contract with the Bills to retire as a member of the team. He just turned 37 years old. Fred Jackson spent 8 of his 9 NFL years with the Buffalo Bills, rushing for more than 5,500 yards and 30 touchdowns. Last played in 2015 for the Seattle Seahawks after he was cut by the Bills during preseason in 2015. Fred Jackson will be on our show tomorrow. Similar situation in New York, where former Jets center Nick Mangold has announced his retirement, and he will sign a one-day contract next week and retire as a New York Jet. Mangold, 34 years old, sat out last season after being released by the Jets in February. Visits continuing around the National Football League. Georgia linebacker Roquan Smith visiting with the San Francisco 49ers today, and that meeting was scheduled before the 49ers linebacker Reuben Foster was charged with 3 felonies last week. San Francisco is the 9th overall pick, which could be the right spot for Roquan Smith. Tampa Bay Buccaneers have picked up the fifth-year option on quarterback Jameis Winston. The deadline for a fifth-year option for players drafted in 2015 is coming up on May 3rd. Winston was the first overall pick in 2015. He'll earn $21 million under the fifth-year plan. Jameis Winston has 45 starts for the Bucs over 3 seasons. He is 24 years old. He's thrown for more than 4,000 yards. And the Bisons canceled tonight. Or actually, that game moved to Louisville tomorrow, and the doubleheader they had scheduled for Wednesday has been canceled due to conditions. Amazing weather in Buffalo and throughout the country. It's the John Murphy Show. John Murphy with Steve Tasker joining us here today. We are 6 days away from the start of the big show, One Bills Live. You ready for that, Steve, next Monday?
Yeah, I am.
Are you sure?
I'm absolutely ready.
Has the experience this week, 2 days, Monday and Tuesday, and then Friday?
No.
Has that soured you on the entire
show? No doubts have seeped in yet.
We have an hour to go. Steve Tasker is with us here for the rest of the hour. I want to talk a lot about the draft, and for my money, the best authority on the draft is Our Lads Scouting Services. They have a number of publications. They have a great website that features depth charts from every National Football League team, pretty updated. Joining us right now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, the GM and National Scout for Our Lads Scouting Services, Dan Shaka. Dan, it's John Murphy and Steve Tasker here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us here today.
You betcha. In fact, the last time that I personally was involved with Steve Tasker was when he played wide receiver out at Dodge City Junior College. And you talk about a switch now going from Dodge City to Northwestern. But anyway, I think I was a head coach. I can't remember if I was at Independence then or Highland in Iowa or in Kansas. But all I remember is we had a safety blitz on, and our guy came free and right hit the quarterback, and he just threw the ball up there, and Steve grabbed it and ran for a touchdown. So that was vivid way back. This is probably late or early 80s, I
early
guess.
Early 80s, yeah. 1980, 81 were the seasons I was there. Yeah, that is, wow, you're old, dude.
Well, no, see, I was a Steve Tasker fan from that point on, and then, of course, I followed Northwestern and everything, so. And then your great career there at Buffalo. But anyway, hey, good talking to you. And I guess now we got to update the draft.
Yeah, absolutely. Dan, you're now my favorite scout of all time.
Dan Shaka from Arley. Hey, I want to ask you about something. It got my attention right on your website this morning when I looked at it, Dan. A quote from the great thinker, Malcolm Gladwell, who is quoted as saying, "Dan Shaka is the outlier of football scouts." That's a pretty good compliment from Malcolm Gladwell. Did he really say that, Dan?
Yeah. In fact, well, in another part of the website there, I have the note because he put it on the inside of his book, you know, because his office called me. He wanted to go with me to scout a game, you know, to see what it was like and everything. He wrote a nice article for The New Yorker on that, and he's comparing it to teachers and just different things. Anyway, then he included me in his book, What the Dog Ate, or What the Dog Saw, I guess it was, What the Dog Saw, and they included me there. But, yeah, no, you talk about, I've been around a lot of really, really smart people in my life, and this guy is, he's like genius level everything. He's a brilliant guy. But you know what? He's never been to a major college football game before, and he was just, he was like a little kid in a candy store. We were at the Oklahoma State-Missouri game. And he was just, I couldn't believe it. He was just like, he just couldn't believe it. He'd never been anything like that. He just loved it. But anyway, that's another story.
That's a great story. It's a great compliment. And folks who don't know, Malcolm Gladwell's book, Outliers, correct me if I'm wrong here, Dan, but he deals with like Wayne Gretzky and what made him so great and it made him a standout. He talks about the Beatles, right, playing in yeah. Hamburg, Germany. And right. apparently he includes you in their company. That's pretty good company, Dan.
Yeah, that was very nice of Malcolm to do that. Like I said, he just I spent, about 5 hours with him studying tape, and I was just going over, showing what I looked at and things like that. And actually, Chase Daniels was a quarterback at Missouri then, and I was kind of focusing on him and some of the other guys. And but it was, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And, you know, like I said, Malcolm was just eating it all up, and it was he just walked around the press box. He was just simply amazed about everything there, which is, you know, really unusual for a guy with his stature being sure. – I mean, he'd been everywhere in the world, you know, but he loved that press box.
Yeah, there's not much like the pageantry of college football. It's a lot of fun. You talk about, you know, sitting down and going over tape, and, you know, we're all here in Buffalo. We're all wrapped up, as you are now, in the draft. And I was looking, and you guys at Our Lads, you've got your own core. You rank the top players at every major position, all the way down to the top 10 or top 11, you know, top 9. And the quarterbacks, you have your quarterbacks listed as Baker Mayfield, number 1, Josh Rosen, number 2, Sam Darnold, number 3, and then Mason Rudolph, who's number 4. And rather than getting to why, what I really want to know is, what is the separating feature for you at those top 2 or 3 or 4 guys between Mayfield, Rosen, and Darnold? What's the difference, and why do you slot them just, you know, 1, 2, and 3? Because – you know, everybody agrees those are the kind of the top guys. What for you is the differentiating thing? Why do you have Baker Mayfield number 1 as opposed to Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen?
Well, the two things. I've scouted in the league. Over 20 years with the Chiefs and Philadelphia and the Redskins, and just so my experience it tells me that, hey, you better have two things as a quarterback for sure. I mean, you got a lot of position specifics, but you better have accuracy and you better make great decisions. And really the third, and maybe that's even more important, is the ability to process information quickly in a blink of an eye. You better be able to make a decision. And that's one thing that just head and shoulders above everybody else was Baker Mayfield. I mean, it was not even close, to be honest with you. The closest one we thought was Josh Rosen, because he could do those things too. But Baker Mayfield is just, I mean, he's just a rarity. I went back and looked at my Purdue report when I went in there to do Drew Brees, and I thought I was reading the same report that I wrote for Baker Mayfield was my, you know, I mean, it was really amazing. So, but to differentiate the guys, and that's why we got, you know, Josh Allen way down, because we think he really struggles processing information. We look at more than, you know, a guy that just a big, good-looking athlete that can throw the ball, you know, 70 yards, because, as you know, Steve, you don't throw that 9 route every play, you know. So
that's right.
You know, but he's a developmental guy, and I don't know if it's going to take him, I think, a lot longer than people think to get on the field. Now, I mean, you can put him on the field, but to be successful on the field, I think it's going to take him a long time. And then, you know, Mason Rudolph is a guy that very consistent deep thrower, smart guy, very dedicated guy. And then Sam Darnold, he's like a cow on ice sometimes. I mean, when his footwork is really off. And also, you know, he turned the ball over 37 times in 26 games, and that just doesn't change. You know, Jameis Winston just got it done signing. They you know, picked up his option year. But when he was a junior, he came out as a junior, he had 18 turnovers. And what does he do now? He still turns the ball over, you know. And I learned a long time ago that you win games by avoid losing them. And, man, you just don't want to turn the ball over. And Sam Darnold is a turnover machine.
On the line with Dan Shanka from Our Lads. He is the GM and National Scout. Spent 16 years in the NFL as a scout for the Eagles, Washington, and Kansas City. Hey, Dan, the quarterback ratings, obviously everybody's focused on quarterbacks. You have, as you said, Josh Allen, and you told us the reasons why, down there as your fifth highest-rated quarterback going into the draft this year. What do you think when you see projections that he could be the number one pick overall? What do NFL teams or even scouts see that that you don't buy into when it comes to Josh Allen?
Well, I think it's a lot of, as we all know, what everybody says out in cyberspace means nothing.
Right.
It, a lot of stuff that, you know, in the draft rooms and the meetings, because, you know, when I was scouting for different teams, we didn't even know what was going on outside the building, to be honest with you. Of course, I mean, Twitter and all that stuff wasn't as big as it is now, but, you know, I mean, everybody in Philadelphia one year wanted us to take Ricky Williams, you know, and we won. Hey, he wasn't even our highest-rated running back on our board. And, you know, we took Donovan McNabb. That was a year of all the quarterbacks and everything, you know. And McNabb was the guy that I did a school call, actually, at the Syracuse on Donovan. And I saw all the other quarterbacks, and he was our guy. So I think that, you know, you just you have to look more than just at a guy's physical attributes. I mean, that's great to have those. But, again, those three things I mentioned about the decision-making accuracy and mental processing, I think a lot of times Josh Allen is like a smart car on the Autobahn. You know, I mean, I don't think he sees the big picture out there. And, he actually admitted as much at the Senior Bowl. You know, the first half he really kind of struggles, uneven and things like that. And the second half he really had a pretty good second half, just throwing deep and, you know, throwing some of those nine routes and things like that. Well, he said, you know, and I think Alex Flanagan was interviewing him, he said, well, you know, I knew what they were going to run. Well, in all-star games, it's about as simple as you're going to get. You know, your coverages, hey, on Sunday, it's going to be as complex as you'll ever see. And so, anyway, that's another reason why I'm down.
Yeah.
You know.
Is there a spot in the quarterback, you know, those top 10? I'm sure you probably, given what you do and how many good quarterbacks are coming out this year, is there a spot in the draft or in this rundown of the top 10 quarterbacks in this draft behind Mayfield, Rosen, Darnold, Rudolph, and all these guys, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, is there a spot where there's a precipitous drop-off from the Mayfields and Rosens and Darnolds and company down to the guys like Mike White and Kirk Benkert and those guys?
Well, I think that, yeah, there is, but I think LaLetta from Richmond, we got him right under Lamar Jackson, and I think, you know, he's going to be a good developmental quarterback, I think Mike White. But then really after that, it's, you know, I think there's a major drop-off after Mike White. You know, I think Ben Kirk, he was inconsistent also. I know when you go to the next level, it's if you're inconsistent when you've been in college and whatever your position you're playing, that doesn't change in the NFL. In fact, it gets a lot worse. So I just think that Mike White is a guy that can throw the ball well. He's probably going to go in the middle round, probably fourth round, somewhere in there. LaLetta could go in the bottom of the third, but may be at top of the fourth. But he's a good, really good developmental smart guy and all that stuff. So I think he's got a chance. So, but after that, I think you're talking about basically a lot of practice squad guys.
Dan Shunk is our guest. He is a GM and national scout for Our Lads Scouting Service. Services. Hey, I want to get you back to your top quarterback, and I promise we're not just going to ask you about quarterbacks, Dan, but Baker Mayfield, the one quote in the long, and I was showing Steve and telling people, Our Lads is great because it's not pictures and a little bit of copy. It's extensive reporting on what you guys see. But on Baker Mayfield, this quote just blew me away. Baker Mayfield has the mental makeup of a championship quarterback. He energizes his team and makes the people around him better. That's exactly what most teams are looking for at quarterback, right?
Yeah, I mean, his teammates love him. I mean, when I was at the different All-Star games, I didn't talk to Baker at all, but I talked to his teammates, and to every single one of them, to a man, they just love this guy, you know? And you know, I kind of see through stuff when people are just, you know, saying things because they're teammate and they don't want to throw them under a bus or something. Well, these guys that I was talking to, I spent a lot of time with Bidette from Oklahoma, the wide receiver, the little wide receiver, is really fast up east-west game and everything. And he just, I mean, he said you cannot say enough about this guy, his leadership, his intensity. He said the whole team rallied around him. I mean, hey, we saw how bad, you know, Orlando Brown did at the combine. Orlando Brown played great. He did everything he had to do to protect Baker Mayfield. And but anyway, he just, Baker's that kind of guy that, I mean, he's like the Drew Brees. I mean, he's an unusual guy, I don't want to say the mentality exactly of a Russell Wilson, but he may be. He's not athletically like Russell or anything like that. He's more of the Drew Brees guy. But I mean, he's a guy that I don't care how tall you are, but he's a playmaker. He's really smart. And like I said, the team rallies around him. And the reason they do that is because they have confidence. I mean, this guy has got a pattern of success from the time he was in high school. I mean, from, you know, winning a state championship as a junior and getting the playoffs and things again as a senior with a group that was probably not as strong as his junior group, but he's still there unbeaten in district play and things. Then he goes on to Texas Tech, starts as a walk-on freshman. Then he says, hey, did I bring in Mahomes? Fine, I'll go ahead and win the Heisman Trophy at Oklahoma. I'll go over there. I mean, he is just an amazing young man. And, in fact, he won the Brulsworth Award back-to-back, which is, you know, for the top walk-on. And I knew Brandon Brulsworth. He was in my area at Arkansas when I was scouting. I guarantee you Brandon Brulsworth would have loved to give him the trophy and say, hey, this is my kind of guy. So, anyway, you know, Baker's been our guy for a year, and we're not wavering.
Yeah, Dan Shunk of Our Lads Scouting Services. The thing I want to talk about, move away from quarterbacks for a minute. There's one guy outside. Well, there's a couple of guys outside the quarterbacks that people are talking. One's a running back, and one is a defensive end pass rusher. I want to talk about the running back. Saquon Barkley absolutely exploded at the NFL Combine. He's the one guy that almost universally is accepted as a guy that may be more valuable than any of the quarter right away. Anyway, maybe more valuable than any of the quarterbacks that we've been talking about. How good do you guys see Saquon Barkley being at the next level, and how fast will that take place in your opinion?
Well, I tell you what, Steve, I think the minute he's drafted, he's one of the top five guys in the league.
Ooh.
I mean, he is just a tremendous athlete. I tell you, he's probably got, and it is arguable with, you know, probably different pundits out there, but he might have the best hands of anybody, including all of his receivers and tight ends in this draft. It's just amazing what this guy can do. And you talk about blitz pickup, and that usually keeps running backs off the field because they can't block if we're picking up blitzes and things. Well, this guy, I mean, he's like a searchlight out there. He's got his eyes going, and he's not back there very often to protect. He's usually out in wheel routes and under routes and Texas routes. And, I mean, he'll line up in the slot. I mean, he can do it all. And anyway, he's, like I said, I don't know how you can pass. And I love Baker Mayfield more than probably anybody in this draft, but I don't know how you can pass Barkley because I think he's going to be the number one pick, or he should be the number one pick because I think he's not only going to be a top running back immediately in the NFL, but I think as long as he stays healthy, and we all know that's a big if in the National Football League, but I think he's got a chance to go to be an annual Pro Bowl guy and wear one of those gold jackets when his career is over. I mean, he's that caliber of, you know, athlete and person, and, you know, he's the total package.
Dan, you got to do us a favor before the draft. You got to pick up the phone and say exactly that to both the New York Giants and the Cleveland Browns for the Buffalo Bills' sake. Will you do that for us?
Hey, I've been pushing. Believe me, I'm on Cleveland radio at least once a week, sometimes three times a week, and I've been pumping that hard because I know what's going to happen. You know, the more those other guys, the Chubbs and the Barkley stuff, you can get up there, going to be pushing the quarterbacks down to their bills.
That's right. Hey, I want to give you a chance to tell listeners what is available in Our Lads. And I'll tell you what one of my favorite features is the NFL depth charts, which are updated. You know, it has to be quite a bit because they're up to date. I couldn't think of going into following a draft without having the depth chart at my fingertips, whether online or in the book. It's invaluable information.
Yeah, John, we update them every day. We belong to the NFL media, and we get the transaction list every day when they come out of New York at around 4 o'clock, I guess 4:30 or what, you know. And so then we update it from there. And but we also can, you know, look at – they're mobile for any platform, so people can look at them on their phones. And we also got our college depth charts also that – they're kind of a little bit in flux. We've moved a lot of the guys that are going to, you know, the seniors down to the end of the line there and then move everybody else up. But you know, so there's a lot of things you can look at, you know, at ourlads.com. But, yeah, the NFL depth charts are super popular.
We're 9 days until the first round. If somebody wants to get your draft guide, the 2018 guide to the NFL draft, is there still time to do that, Dan?
Oh, absolutely, John. We've got, in fact, we're pumping out those books daily. Like I said, well, my wife's already been to the post office once with a load, and then last night I take them in. So, yeah, you know, the funny thing is a lot of people, they have all year, but they'll order them 2 days before the draft and want it overnighted, and they pay for it. So, hey, we shoot it to them. But, yeah, we'll get it out. The day they order it, we send it out.
Yeah, you have the same type of staff at your house that your company that I do at mine. So whoever actually happens to be in the house, it has to go make the run. Yeah. Dan, I appreciate it. Dan Shunk of Our Lads Scouting Service. Love the insight on the players. A guy who is, it's one of those guys that's like, you're like a mushroom. You go into those dark rooms and you don't come out until you're fully mature with all the information you have. It's fun to listen to. Thank you, and I appreciate you going back in time to Dodge City Community College. That was a lifetime ago.
Well, to me, that was such a rarity because, you know, Northwestern, well, that just tells everybody how good a student stuff you were. They wouldn't take, you know, Northwestern, you know, academically. They very rarely, and you might have been the only one for all I know, taking a junior college player. So, in fact, one of the guys that played for me, Joe Morton, went up there, I think, after you were there.
Oh, yeah, Joe was my roommate for a minute. We were roommates our first trimester there at Northwestern. We came in at the exact same time.
Oh, okay. Well, yes, and Joe, but that you guys were a couple of rarities to go in Northwestern. I still have a great relationship with Coach Fitzpatrick and everything there, Gerald. You know. So, but anyway, thank you very much for visiting today. Enjoyed being with you guys.
Thanks, Dan. OurLads.com, the place to go, right, to order books and to get the information. OurLads.com.
You bet.
Thanks, Dan. Dan Shanka is the National Scout and the General Manager for Our Lads Scouting Services, Our Lads Guide to the 2018 NFL Draft, available now.
I got to tell you, you talk to guys like that, and you see how good they are and what they look at when they're watching film and what they can discern and pull out. Like when they talk to teammates, they talk to coaches, they go to the Shrine Bowl, the East-West game, the Senior Bowl, they watch the practices, and they watch film. It's fun to get their take on it because, you know, that's possible these days when it wasn't for many decades. Right. You couldn't do that. It's great to hear guys who actually –
big fan of yours. You went to Northwestern when Northwestern wasn't cool for football, right?
That is true.
Right? I mean
– I got there. They were 0-31. And they were 0-34 before – we went 0-3 to start the season. Then we finally broke the – at that time, it's been surpassed. We owned the longest losing streak in Division I football history.
Hey, he said a couple of things that I had to write down. And I asked him about, you know, he's got Baker Mayfield as number one quarterback. Josh Allen is his fifth quarterback behind Mason Rudolph. And I said, well, I asked him, you got people out there forecasting Josh Allen could be the number one. This classic. I love when he said this. Outside the building, we don't even know what's going on. Not only do they not care what other people are saying, other people forecasting the draft, they don't know what other people forecast.
They don't care.
That's where you got to be.
And I'll tell you,
that's the way teams are, by the way, for
many years, and even to a certain extent, they do it today. You get these number one draft picks, particularly top 10 guys. They always have measurables, and what I mean by that is they're big, strong, fast, can jump high, can catch, can do all this stuff. The problem is they have a hard time quantifying what he did with Baker Mayfield, all the intangibles. You know, the teammates love him. He makes everybody better. He processes information better. He's an accurate thrower. All this other stuff, if you can throw it 80 yards like Josh Allen, and that's been the big knock, is Baker Mayfield's physical abilities, are they enough to close the gap between where his intangibles are and where his physical abilities are? And obviously the guys at Our Lads think he's all of that in a bag of chips. And they like Baker Mayfield a lot.
Compared him to Drew Brees, which is a pretty amazing comparison. Yeah. One more thing Dan Shanka just said got my attention. It stopped me dead in my tracks about Barkley, the running back, Penn State running back.
Yeah.
The minute he's – this is what Dan Shanka said, and this is a draft professional. The minute he's drafted, he lines up as one of the top five players in the NFL.
He's got him with a gold jacket at the end of his career, and the guy's still in Penn State.
Best hands in the draft.
Best hands in the draft. I mean, I like it when a guy and this gives people an insight too, because Dan Shunk is one of those guys who you get in the situation room, the draft room of these NFL teams. You've got guys who have this kind of knowledge, and also who have this kind of belief. and there'll be another guy in the room that has Baker Mayfield and Josh Rosen flipped. He goes, yeah. I don't know, because Rosen is this and that. And you've got to decide as a general manager and all about which guys that that you're going to go with. It's you got a lot of guys that spend a lot of time digging very deep into the abilities and the intangibles that these guys bring to the table. Because when push comes to, and I never forget this, a friend of mine told me, he goes, listen, you got to give that contract to somebody.
Yeah.
You got to draft somebody.
Somebody's going to be the first overall.
Somebody's got to get picked there.
Yeah.
And you got to pick them. So they dig deep for these guys. And it's really insightful to see how passionate these guys are about what they believe this kid can do.
Dan Shanker, we thank Dan for joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. Probably sounds like I'm a stockholder in our lads. I'm not. I've been a subscriber for 25, 30 years. And it's the best because it's comprehensive.
I've never been a big draft guy because I've always been one of the guys that once the teams are set, then I step in. That's probably going to change now.
That's going to change in the next 9 days.
Right. Yeah. So for us, you use the things in your industry that help you do your job better.
Yeah.
And our lads and these books and the scouting services are absolutely, absolutely indispensable.
Hey, we got more from the Buffalo Bills locker room or from the media room today as several Bills players talked on day two of the offseason conditioning program. Like to hear from you as well. The phone lines open 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-552-550. Plus NFL true or false coming up. Come on back. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back, John Murphy. Steve Tasker from our One Buffalo studio, safely ensconced indoors despite the snow outside. Not talking about snow anymore. Thanks for tuning into the show. Dan Shaka got some. We got some interesting tweets on Dan Shaka.
People seem to like Dan Shaka.
Long haul hockey time tweets, and great hearing a nationally recognized scout. Like in Baker Mayfield to Drew Brees, that's literally how I describe him to people who don't know anything about him. I've never heard that comparison before. Have you?
No.
Baker Mayfield to Drew Brees? I guess
a little bit.
The height, I guess.
One of the things I heard is Baker Mayfield has kind of patterned his game a little bit after Russell Wilson. So I heard those comparisons. And I know that his height is a little bit like Drew Brees. They're about the same height.
Yeah.
But, that's going back. If you missed it, he said Dan Shanka said – he went back and looked at his Drew Brees evaluation from years ago when Drew Brees came out, and he said it was almost identical.
Yeah.
Almost identical.
A couple of other tweets. Tony Chimera, our lads is outstanding. Best draft guide, although I like Inside the Pylon as well. Hit on demand later. Dan didn't pull any punches getting into the top quarterbacks. Great segment. It was a good segment. And, look, somebody asked me, maybe it was you the other day. No, somebody else in the building said, are you going to be upset if they don't draft a certain quarterback?
And that was like, me, I think.
Yeah. No, I'm not. And if they don't even draft a quarterback, I'll be all right. I'll be glad it's over.
Yeah, yeah.
I have confidence in the decision makers here. I love hearing all these differences of opinion, though. And Shaka was very adamant about what he thought about these quarterbacks. I found that refreshing.
And
almost.
I know that we didn't get into it that far, although he went on and on about Baker Mayfield. I don't know. It sounded like, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I was surprised at how confident he was that Baker Mayfield's going to be a guy. I mean, a guy that's going to play for 15, 16 years and be the guy on Sunday taking snaps for your team every week, whether he wins, loses, all of that. But he's going to be one of those guys that just doesn't come off the field. And I was shocked at how much he believed that. It seemed like after he got done, I was like, wow, it seems like there's a gap between Baker Mayfield and the other guys on the quarterback list.
Yeah.
Well, even though when we asked him about that, he thinks there are eight guys at the top of our lads draft list that are going to be passable NFL quarterbacks and up, above, all the way up to franchise quarterbacks like Mayfield. The top eight guys on their list, he thinks, are going to be good quarterbacks. The other guys, not so much, maybe just journeyman.
Call on the line from Frank in Williamsville. Go ahead, Frank. Welcome. You're on the air.
Thanks. Hey, Steve, you just covered this, but you're the guy I want to ask because your career was built on intangibles. And if I want to measure a guy's intangibles, how do I go about doing that? I mean, I know they can do the other stuff, physical stuff, it's up and down. Everybody knows how far a guy can throw the football. But
that's what makes them intangibles by definition. If they're tangible, you can measure, right? Intangibles mean they're non-measurable,
you
right?
You try and find out about them. I mean, that's a good question, Frank. But one of the things they do is they go back and they talk to people who have interacted with the guy. They talk to his high school coaches, college coaches. They talk to his teammates. They watch NFL coaches at the Senior Bowl, at the Shriners game, at all these things. They interview him. They sit down and talk with him, ask him questions. They find out about their family, where their birth order. You know, they have brothers and sisters, how they get along with them. All of that stuff. They find out as much as they can and try and extrapolate what kind of guy they're really dealing with. And plus, you know, they also try to sift through the smoke of what players and their agents put out there.
Once you get those opinions, though, how do you compare and contrast against a guy who might have more tangible characteristics versus a guy who might have better intangibles? You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you rate those guys as which one you want on your team to be your quarterback?
You got to it's a belief. You know, you look at the guy and you think, I think this guy, if he has the intangibles and he's intelligent, you know, his intelligence, his character, his leadership abilities, his intelligence. I don't know if I said that twice. But all of that stuff, you think to yourself and you evaluate, can all of those intangibles overcome
right
his physical abilities or his physical shortcomings in this case? And if you think they can, and plus you know this too, an axiom, smart football players with high character always improve. Guys who aren't smart, dummies, and guys who are not motivated never improve. They're going to be the same guy in year 10 or year 3 or year 2 as they are the day you draft them.
Marv Levy used to say that all the time.
Smart guys, smart football players get better.
Yeah.
And high character guys dig deep when things don't go well, both personally and professionally. You want guys who are smart, always getting better, and they dig deep when things don't go well. And those are the kind of guys you really want to try and seek out. That's, you know, it's part of the culture here, One Bills Drive, that Sean McDermott's trying to build. You saw it with A.J. McCarron. He wants to be the best teammate he can be. You saw it with Kyle Williams earlier in our show where he said he's about serving his teammates and making them better. And so in so doing, becomes more vital to the success of the team. Those kind of players, you can't put a price on them because guys around them get better. So he may not be a Hall of Fame player, but two or three other guys go from being good players to great players. And now you've got four or five great players where you only just had one guy with a lot of intangibles. So all that stuff's a balance.
Thanks for your call, Frank. We appreciate it. We talked a lot about quarterbacks today. We do every day. We talked a lot about A.J. McCarron. The other quarterback on the Buffalo roster right now, Nathan Peterman, second-year player out of Pittsburgh. Nathan Peterman met with the media earlier this afternoon, and he was asked about his contact after a couple days with Brian Daboll, the Bills' new offensive coordinator, and what Peterman has gotten out of Brian Daboll so far.
Yeah, I think it's been great, you know, just meeting him at first, and then, you know, these past couple days that we've been able to kind of get in the meeting room and really learn from him. I think he's extremely smart, very knowledgeable, been in a lot of places, had a lot of experience, and just to be around him, I mean, you kind of get a feel for that, and you can just tell how much knowledge he has to bring. But, you know, obviously, you know, you value a quarterback that can, you know, take the team down and score and protect the football. That's a big emphasis of what we're going to, you know, got to do to win games in the NFL. So it's been good, you know, just excited to learn from him.
Nathan, our first chance to ask you what your reaction is to this team acquiring AJ and the competition that's ahead.
Yeah.
What is your reaction to it?
Good. I mean, I know, you know, the NFL, there's a lot of change. So, you know, with you know, all the changes that happened on our team this year, there's a lot of new faces, a lot of new people. But for me, you know, football has always been about competing. And I'm always competing, you know, obviously with other players, but also with myself, too. I'm just always trying to get better. So that's a big focus this offseason of mine. You know, the previous months was really tried to, you know, find a way to get better while I was away from here. Then same thing the next few months while I'm here.
What was your reaction to the team deciding to trade Tyrod Taylor?
Kind of the same thing of, you know, that's the NFL. There's a lot of change in the NFL. Was very thankful, though, for Tyrod being here last year. I learned a lot from him. Tremendous leader, tremendous work ethic he had. I learned a lot from that, and, you know, just wish him the best.
You had quite the hectic roller coaster up and down rookie year. A lot happened in your rookie year. Have you had a chance to kind of take a step back and think about everything that you went through and what you have learned and what is all of that and where you are right now?
Absolutely, you know. But, you know, I kind of did that right after the season, you know, back in January, February. It's good to kind of just get to exhale a little bit, you know, review some of that stuff and then put it behind you. And now it's all moving forward and moving on. And, you know, we got a new offense, new faces, a lot of new things. And I'm just excited to get started working at that all that new things.
How do you approach your role this year with maybe the insert with AJ here, not sure what's happening in the draft? How do you approach what you need to do over the next month, 2-3 months?
Just improve. That's the word that all the coaches are using, you know, especially Coach Dable. That's, I think, his favorite word is that's what we're going to be focused on throughout these next 2 months, improving. And that's really, I feel like, my mindset always. And it's kind of an obsession of getting better. And you have to have that, I think, you know, that mentality. You never want to be stagnant and always want to be better.
Mike has said that when he was out here, he mentioned that expectations on rookies when they come into this league are outrageous. I would assume it's even more so the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. You just went through that. There's a lot of talk that the Bills will be looking to add a quarterback. What is it like to go through expectations when you enter the league?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I felt any outside expectations or anything like that. I mean, you certainly have expectations for yourself coming in as a rookie. But, you know, the expectation really for myself is always to be the best I can be, you know, and to win games. So, I don't know. Can't speak, I guess, too much. I didn't feel too many outside expectations, I guess.
Did you feel like it was a vote of confidence when the team did trade Tyrod? I mean, at that point, you were the only quarterback on the roster for a while. But
I'm not sure. You know, again, I don't really know what to think of it. I know there's a lot of decisions that are above my head, a lot of changing, I felt like I've been saying. So, it's kind of, you just can control what you can control, and that is just getting better every day.
There is Nathan Peterman addressing the media today. I want to get one more call on here before we have to head to a break. Pete is on the line with us. Pete, go ahead. Welcome to the show. You're on the air with us.
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call. First-time caller. I've been a Bills fan since 1960.
Thanks, Pete.
I had the 64 season in the rock pile. That was great. I'm going to the draft. I'm pumped. I'm going to the draft.
Excellent.
Friday
nice.
And Saturday. I really hope the Bills stay where they are with all their picks and don't go up and take Jackson. And I'm a little worried about if they went up, they might find a Ryan Leaf or a Jamarcus Russell with a pick. So that's my thought on who they ought to draft number 12.
Why are you going to the draft?
What's that?
Why are you going to the draft, Pete? What prompted that play?
Well, I live 5 hours from Arlington, so my son's a Cowbell ticket holder, so
there you go.
He's got tickets there Friday and Saturday.
Excellent. And you don't want him to make any move because you want to watch something when you're there Friday, right? You don't want a second and third round for the Bills.
Well, you know, that's true.
Sure, I get it. Yeah,
it's very true there, but. Yeah, you know, I think they got a lot of need. They got a lot of other needs other than maybe safety. They got a ton of other needs to use all those picks on.
Well, who would you like to see them pick if they're going to stay at 12 and all the quarterbacks are all gone, and you know maybe some of the you know Saquon Barkley and Chubb are gone. Who you know what kind of position or where would you like to see them pick first of position?
You know they need receivers. They can use O line help, D line help. Linebacker help. There's I'm down here in SEC country, and I've always said that you can't go wrong drafting out of the SEC. So there's plenty of good talent available at those various other positions. But obviously the receiver's key.
Yep.
And you know, Tom Brady was a sixth round pick, so it's just a matter of you need a little luck, I guess. When you're looking for quarterbacks, but maybe they can leave that up to them. Maybe they can find the right guy.
Great. Thanks, Pete.
Thanks, Pete. Appreciate you waiting for us.
You know, I've been thinking a lot, Steve, obviously, about the draft. And I would be disappointed if the Bills don't come out of day one with a quarterback, like say. On the other hand, if Thursday night, day one, round one of the draft ends and Roquan Smith is a Buffalo Bill, I'd be like, okay, I'm okay. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't have a stake in it. I don't have a horse in the race other than my job, but
right.
I don't have a favorite who I absolutely have to see them pick. And if they don't, if they doesn't follow them, they get a quarterback. They're going to get a good player at number 12. That's a pretty good spot to have. And if it's Roquan Smith, I'd be elated even right. without a quarterback.
Yeah, it could be. It could be any of those guys.
Yeah,
it's going to be fun. I mean, they're going to have a lot of if they don't move and take all their picks, they're going to have six of the top 100. They're going to be at the podium all night.
Yeah, Thursday and Friday.
All the time.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
All right, the draft just 9 days away. We got more coming up here on the show. Steve and I back in a moment. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We are live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What have we learned is presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had a heck of a show. Kyle Williams joined us right off the We had a good show. Kyle Williams came in here today off the practice field after the off-season conditioning program, and he talked about coming back here to Buffalo to return for his off-season work.
You always have new guys coming in and out, so you're trying to get with them. You're trying to get together as a defense, make sure you're on the same page, picking up changes. You know, you're always tweaking, you're always changing, making sure we're seeing things the same way, we're speaking the same language, so we can move together and be as good as we can 2018. Because, you know, as great and fun as last year was towards the end of the year and, you know, all the things that went with that, you know, this is a totally new year. This is a totally new football team, and you know, we have to lay the groundwork for who we're going to be, and we have to do it now.
Kyle Williams joining us here in studio. Also today, we talked with Jordan Renan, who is ESPN NFL Nation reporter covering the New York Giants. I guess we all sort of settled on the Giants as being the most impactful team in the draft this year, sitting where they are in the draft. Jordan Renan talked about that, how the Giants can affect with what they do at number two in the draft.
They're in a good spot. I mean, if you're Dave Gettleman, you got to feel pretty good about where you're at. In regards to, they can go in a lot of different directions, right? They could take that quarterback if they really wanted. They have a 37-year-old quarterback, Eli Manning, that's going to be 38 before the season's over. They can go with the top player because we're assuming the Cleveland Browns can, top non-quarterback at least, because we're assuming the Cleveland Browns can are going to take a quarterback. And then they have the option of trading down and collecting, really getting a monster haul for that number two pick.
Jordan Renan from ESPN, and we really had a great conversation with Dan Shanka from Our Lads Guide to the NFL Draft. You can go to ourlads.com if you'd like to order that book. A lot of reaction on Twitter to some of the stuff Shanka said. I mean, it was about it's the quarterbacks that get everybody's attention, but, man, he was an unabashed fan of
Baker Mayfield.
That's
what you get when you start talking to scouts. They see so much. And they compare so much of guys, one guy does well, what another guy doesn't well. They have passionate beliefs, and they pull no – they don't care. I mean, they have no skin in the game. They're just going to say what they think. They don't have to draft these guys.
Right.
They're giving you
absolutely – they all like to be right. I'm sure
they do like to be right, but believe me, they get to be right by watching a ton of tape and evaluating, knowing what they're looking at. And guys like Dan Shanker, he's been doing it for decades – you know, he knows what he's looking at. And it was fun to listen to him dissect and what he liked, thumbs up, thumbs down with a lot of these guys.
Shanka had, 16, 17 years in the NFL as a scout. And you know what? You're right. They like to be right. You know what else I get from professional scouts like Shanka and the guys who work here, the guys who I know around the league? They know, you know, they have these strong convictions. They have these strong opinions. And yet they know how crazy the draft is, how wrong they might be, and how right, you know, that they might be, and how crazy it is to try to make predictions on this. Nobody more than the professionals who do it for a living appreciate the crapshoot that the draft is. I really believe
that. And they know, too, they're the first guys that get swept out the door when they're wrong.
The coaching staff,
I mean, the coaches are making millions of bucks. These guys are not. But the coaching staff loses their jobs. Their families are relocated. The staff, the college scouting staff, they're all gone.
Yeah.
And it's all – and we laughed, and it's in these articles. Some of your people acknowledge it. It's all fun and games until 50 people lose their job because the kid was a bust.
Yep. Hey, on Twitter today, we asked the question, which team of the under 31 could most affect the Buffalo Bills' first-round draft plans? It was pretty obvious. 56% of you said the Giants, 21% said the Jets, 14% said the Browns with the first and the fourth picks, 9% had somebody else in mind. I guess we would have forecast that going in, but it was good to make sure. I do think the Browns have a lot to say, and they might be a potential trade partner for the Bills. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Production assistants today from George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rood, and J.J. Torito. Steve, we'll be back with us Friday, right?
I'm back Friday, yeah.
All right, Chris Brown is on the show tomorrow.
Looking forward to next week.
Yeah, next week we start the big show, One Bills Live, next Monday. Chris Brown is with us tomorrow. Fred Jackson joins us tomorrow as well. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow at noon with the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.